B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Want you to know that it's a Thursday. You're getting closer to the end of your work week. John G. Cain Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters in the 6 o'clock hour. Bradford White, here for the pro. I had a nice hot shower this morning. I needed it. My Bradford White Water Heater was kicking some booty this morning. I needed to wake up a little bit. Because it was a late night. Then it was hard to go to bed. And it was the first night since I've returned that as a sports fan, I truly feel like a Philadelphian again. That was an amazing night. Sixers, Jazz, top seeds in each conference, going at it, huge plays, dagger moves. That was exciting. That felt real. And so much in the past year has not felt real. It hasn't felt the same. And for me, dying to get back into these stadiums, dying to get back to see teams where I can be a fan, where I can attach myself to something, it was really special last night. That was absolutely amazing. Am I going to read too much into it? I tend to be the guy who writes off losses as, well, don't pay too much attention when there's a bad loss. So when there's a great win, do you overestimate the great win? How about this? I put on my Sixers hoodie this morning, which I don't wear hoodies, so that really is something that would just be a statement in and of itself. But it felt special, and it feels exciting. And you know what? This morning I wake up and I say the Sixers seem a lot more viable to me than they did yesterday. Is that a mistake? That's where we begin the 6 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. We got Connor. We got Mike. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The statement being, I feel like the Sixers are more viable today than I did yesterday. Is that the mistake, Bob? You've seen enough of these big games. You've seen enough of these teams. Am I getting fooled by one game? Because I try to never overreact to bad losses.
No, you're not getting fooled. It was a really good test. It was a good game, a good tough game. And if you look more into the inside of the game, besides the win, besides the unbelievable performance by Embiid, you know, they only committed, I think, 11 turnovers last night. They made clutch baskets. When they needed defense down the end, my God, they got it. Embiid with a block. Embiid deflecting a pass like a lob in there at one point. They made the best player on the other team miss shots when they had to. Like, when you look into it, no. Don't think you're getting too excited about it. You should be excited. That is a really, really good Utah Jazz team. If there's one disappointment you take away, it's that the Sixers allowed like 50% shooting from three, and they made 21 of them. But that's what they do, and that's what they're really good at. The Sixers took that and made stops when they had to. So, no, you have reason to be excited.
I wonder, Jamie, is how many teams can do what Utah does. To exploit the Sixers, because the perimeter defense is obviously lacking. The Sixers' perimeter defense, there were a lot of open-look threes, too, last night. Utah's ball movement is spectacular.
Yeah, they might have, you know, I think Ala and Mark said it last night on the broadcast, some of the best spacing in the NBA, and they do. They have some tremendous players, and what's funny, what Bob said, I chalked that up to a positive last night about the percentage of threes that they hit.
You do.
Oddly, yes, because I don't think that's a norm for many teams in the NBA to hit like 55% of your three-point shots. And you took the punches, you rolled with it. And I almost texted Bob in the second quarter, but I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't get a text from me either.
Yeah, I thought they were going to win the entire time. Like, the fact that Utah never ran away with it and put their foot on the throats just screamed, they're going to win this game.
Every time it got to 13, it got to 7.
Yeah.
Every time it got to
they hit a three.
12, it got to 5. And it was funny. Our buddy Pete Dunn, like, I was texting with Pete. And Pete's yeah. like, I said, they're going to win this game. And it was 9 points in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I said, they're going to win this game. Because it just, so many times, Pat, that game looked like it was ready to go lopsided, and it didn't. It didn't. The Sixers didn't allow it to happen.
Yeah, I think what's most impressive about the whole win is the fact that they were down for majority of that game.
Vast majority.
And they kept clawing their way back, as you said, and then, you know, Joe Ingles will hit a three, but, I mean, they didn't take the lead till
4 minutes to go?
Yeah, late in the fourth quarter, and it became a dogfight that they just, I had the same feeling. I hopped on the live line and smashed the Sixers money line because.
I wish I had done that.
You had the feeling that, okay, this is a different Sixers team than last year. They'll find a way to pull this one out.
They really did find a way.
I got to say, hats off to you guys because I did not have that feeling
at all. I really did.
I did. Yeah, it's weird. And a lot of times I will. But last night wasn't one of them for some reason.
They just kept surviving.
I was watching it a different way, and I love this. I love that we watched games differently. I was getting frustrated that it got to 5, but then always seemed to climb to 12. You guys were watching it, seeing it 12, getting down to 5. That's funny. But I didn't have confidence in the game until Embiid made 2 huge defensive plays in the fourth quarter with a couple minutes to go, and then I was like, wow,
they could do this. He almost blocked Mitchell and then brought it back and blocked Gobert on a dunk.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. For me, the momentum shift, Dwight Howard's little run there at the end of the third
quarter.
It was
fantastic.
He changed the energy of that bench unit.
Well, first up, Dwight Howard's run in the third. Then you had Embiid in the fourth.
Yeah.
And then you had Tobias Harris in overtime.
He was a beast.
Which, to me, was maybe, Pat, the most promising thing of the whole night, is that like in overtime, they were fully committed to saying, okay, Toby, you run with it.
Yeah, he'd been quiet the entire game. And then all of a sudden, it's like him and Embiid switched positions in the post, and they just kept feeding Tobias Harris. Why wouldn't you? Because he just kept hitting it. Yeah, I didn't expect Tobias Harris to be the one to lead them in overtime, but that's the luxury of having a Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Like, who do you cover?
Bob, the one thing I would say, which is, I'm looking at it as Utah complaining afterwards, and we're going to hear some of the audio as they bitch and complain about everything. And so as the Jazz is complaining about the
very good using your singular verb there for Jazz.
There you go. It is.
Commendable.
Well, I hate the fact that Utah has Jazz because there is no Jazz in Utah.
No, there isn't. But
the idea that to me what confuses me is they're complaining about the amount of times the Sixers got to the line. How many times did the Sixers take it to the rack between Utah's chucking it up from outside? Why would they expect to be getting more foul calls?
Look, I don't like to talk about refereeing because it takes away from the game, in my opinion, but that was very odd last night, to say the least.
Both ways.
I still don't know what the hell happened on that out of bounds play. The ball hit the ref. I was always told the referee's part of play and just to keep playing if a ball ever hits a ref if he's inbounds.
I always thought that was
and
the
that was reviewed by the league.
But it wasn't it.
A good friend of mine works up there too. I don't know.
I thought that was always the rule. Refs were
I'm going to text some people today and try to get a clear explanation.
Wasn't it that the ref was out of bounds when the ball hit him?
I don't think that. I don't think that changes anything considering the ref is part of the floor inbounds.
Yeah, like if I jump up and get a ball and I'm about to fall out of bounds and there's a guy standing out of bounds and I throw the ball off of him, it's going to be off of him, even though he's...
It's just weird.
I don't know.
It's weird.
The bitching about the refereeing, like the way they're talking like they're a 9-27 team as opposed to a 27-19.
Donovan Mitchell's been on a team that's lost 8 games this year, and yet he sees this Scooby-Doo conspiracy theory against them.
I'm never, ever one to blame a ref, to blame an official. I could say we could have done more, but this is getting out of hand. The fact that we just continually get screwed in a way by this. You know, like, we won this game, in my personal opinion. It seems ridiculous, DK, that this is what's happening. I'm sick of it. To be honest with you, we all are. You know, and I think this is something that just, it eats at me, man. And it's really, really getting out of hand. And the league needs to do something about this because I want to see the last 2-minute report. It's getting out of hand.
It's completely contrived. And people are overreacting to this.
I find it funny.
This was completely, he did that completely by design. He's working the officials. He's trying to do, Pat Riley did this crap. Phil Jackson did this crap.
Yeah.
Where you come out afterwards and you're trying to get an advantage in the next outing. Down the line, should these two teams meet again? He was laying groundwork last night. That was completely contrived.
Yeah,
That wasn't a guy truly believing there's a conspiracy theory against him.
Yeah, I don't know how he could believe it. Was there some frustration there? Sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, you could see it when he was walking off the floor and all. But to go to those extremes that he and Gobert went to about, you know, the league doesn't want us to win. Like, what are you talking? Now, he did it at a bad time because the league's going on break now. And officials will get together. The head officials, all of them, they will get together. This will not be forgotten. If you do it after a game and you play the next night, maybe.
He shamed the officials.
And they're going to sit on this and listen to it for a week. It's good. Not going to help the Utah Jazz at all.
Jamie, you believe in any way, shape, or form the league? Are you one of those people who believes the league wants the Lakers to win and not Sacramento? They want the Clippers to win and not Utah.
Not really, no. The TV networks definitely do.
The TV networks do. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. And, you know, people, I guess, the conspiracy is, well, the TV networks are pulling the strings of the league saying, you know, we got to get... No, I don't buy that. It's just the bigger market teams typically, historically, are the better teams.
I think if you gave Adam Silver truth serum and said, who would you rather have in the finals, it's going to be big
sure.
market teams.
Oh, no, but that's different.
But I do not think that he's sitting there rooting and making a phone call from his ivory tower saying, screw the Utah Jazz. Come on.
Yes, I mean, seriously.
Call an offensive foul on Donovan Mitchell. He hooked Ben Simmons.
By the way, Flyers-Penguins tonight, 7 o'clock on the Fanatic. I'm getting word that the Flyers are actually planning on showing up tonight.
Oh, that'd
they're
be actually, nice.
They are.
They're Provorov and Ghost going to help out?
And they will be starting their number one goaltender
tonight. Oh, the Moose!
They will be playing their number one goaltender tonight. So there's a good chance they have a chance to win, reportedly.
Well, you mean the Moose, right?
With the terrible. I'm a little disappointed, but we'll see Flyers hockey tonight. It's like a playoff series. You went to Pittsburgh, you got your backsides handed to you, and now see tonight if you can change that whole
game. Game two tonight.
Which will be fun tonight to be able to do that. I've just got to say, though, it's that a gentleman says here, he goes, John, you've always been a Philadelphian. Said, you've always been a Philadelphian. He goes, it's one of the things, he goes, I can hear the joy in your voice being home. He said, what did you mean by last night? I said, it's the first night I felt like it, though. Because it's the biggest game that's been played since I've been home.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't here for any Eagles games. You know, I moved here and then the Eagles played that stupid-ass Fugazi game against the Washington Redskins or the Washington football team.
Yeah.
So this is the first one. Last night, I hung on every basket. My neighbors, probably annoyed. And as I said, they were probably... Now, waking up the neighbors, though, it was 9:30, right? It was 9:30.
Yeah, it was 9:30. Yeah.
Like, not too bad. Even though there are old people in our building, but not next to me on either side. So I know left and right of me, I know not.
Right.
I do have a fine state trooper next to me, so I feel safe about
that. Oh, okay,
that. I got
good.
A state trooper
that's
next
not,
to me.
That's comforting.
So I know that. So if anything, you know, we got to bust out. Him and I can go down the hallway and if it takes...
They have a headquarters right over there.
If we need pistols out.
Yeah, I got yelled at last night during the game.
Too loud?
At what time?
So our son Tommy, who I told you has autism, he's 24. He cannot stand when somebody curses.
Oh.
So he's all the way up in his room, and I, at one point, somebody did something. I like, what the bleep are you doing? Like, and I wasn't mad. I questioned things out loud. He comes running downstairs. Don't you curse! Yelled at me and ran back upstairs.
That's
awesome.
I
said, sorry, Tommy.
That's what I said. That's what Olivia always says. She's heard her dad curse, I think, twice in 17 years. I don't curse in front of her.
Nobody was there. I didn't know
I
he heard me.
Eagles game.
Busted.
It's the only time she ever heard me, and she hears me from upstairs and heard me curse. And I'll never forget the first time she heard me curse. Dad, seriously? Did you just curse? She was like shocked by it.
The first time my kids heard me curse, they never said anything because they were too young to talk.
See, there you go.
I curse like a sailor, but I try not to around my son. And I'm trying to instill that in both parents about, hey, like, let's try to, you know, calm down. Sports, though, gets the best of me.
One of my good buddies, Richie, taught me when they had already had one child before us. And he said, we growl. So I would growl. When I wanted to curse, I would growl when she's getting like,
what the?
I growl to try to do something like that, just to try to keep myself from doing it. And I stopped. I pretty much stopped myself because watching sports is the only time I really do it. Put Christina behind the wheel of a car.
Yeah. And you're in the car and you curse?
My wife doesn't curse. Like she doesn't curse just sitting around like in basic conversation.
Yeah, no.
Start the ignition.
That's what my mom's
saying. She's driving. Start the ignition.
And then she becomes
potty mouth.
Wow.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
She's like a trucker. She's like a trucker out there. Like, what the f- are you doing? Get the f- out of my lane. What are you doing? You just cut me the F off. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, yo. And but the thing is, though, you wouldn't have a conversation with her any other place.
Yeah.
It's to me. And I said, you're road raging. This is road rage.
Yeah.
She goes, no, road rage would be as if I took a pistol and went up to somebody at a stoplight because they cut me off.
Well, that's extreme road rage.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
When I just was talking about
different levels of road rage,
trying to keep it in, the two places I curse the most are sporting events and then behind the wheel.
Okay.
And I called myself the other day doing it.
Did you really?
Yeah, because he was
behind
in
the wheel.
I kind of forgot he was in the back of the car.
Oh.
And somebody made some stupid move on the road and I said some stuff.
You know, you can receive a $5 rebate by trading up any non-contact thermometer toward an Exergen purchased at any retailer, because accuracy matters. Don't take a chance with non-contact thermometers. Visit Exergen.com today to make sure you are properly checking your temperature. All right, in Cooney's Corner, there's a certain player that just doesn't look the part.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Ala Abdelnaby and Mark Zumoff last night were having so much fun with this topic.
It was a fun broadcast.
And I
last
yeah,
night. Good
yeah.
job, Zoo.
I was texting with Ala during the game and stuff, but
you bothered him during the game?
That's cool. It's mostly
dropper.
Halftime.
See,
halftime.
Thank you.
Yeah, halftime between quarters and stuff
wow.
like that. But I miss seeing those guys. I used to see them all the time. But yeah, I'm watching Joe Ingles last night. I'm like, he's left-handed. He's got a bad semi-balding head. He just looks frumpy. He looks like he just, like, kind of rolled out of the bar in Australia and, you know, like, heading home at 5 in the morning. And he just keeps making jumpers and makes plays and gets himself open. I'm just saying, what did they allude to last night, James? That he's a YMCA? Like, if you went to the YMCA, you know, that's the guy you would pick? Like, is there any other athlete that just doesn't look like they should be out there doing it like him?
Perfect one when I saw you wanted to talk about this. Mac Jones.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Alabama.
Yes.
Quarterback in Alabama who has man boobs and a belly.
Yeah.
And by the way, that totally, completely rules him out of any interest that I would ever have for the Eagles to be drafting him.
What?
A 22-year-old has man boobs and a belly. I'm sorry. No. And I watched his career.
Yeah.
I watched his college career.
Did you see Tom Brady's picture when he had the...
He didn't have man boobs and a belly.
No, not that bad.
No, I think that's... For a 22-year-old, if you're a 22-year-old with man boobs and a belly, that's the ultimate in laziness, Pat.
No, that's a life choice that I respect.
Lazy.
I respect that.
And by the way, you're not supposed to have dad bods at 22.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have dad bods at 22. You're supposed to be in your... You're like a prime animal. You're out there.
Prime animal.
You are. You're supposed to be like in the animal kingdom.
That was kind of awkward.
You're supposed to be like you're supposed to be at your prime. It's the animal kingdom. You're supposed to be attracting females. You're supposed to be out there looking your best.
I've traveled 1,000 miles to give you my seed.
Traveled to the Mist of Avalon.
Okay, I am not going to Vegas with Jamie. After
so you brought up Mac Jones. He did enter my mind, but like when I saw him without his shirt on, it shocked me because he didn't. I didn't think he would look like that on the field.
He's a B-cup.
But
he's a B-cup.
The name that came to my mind thinking about it was CeCe Sabathia. In his prime fatness.
Yeah. Well, David Wells, too.
David Wells is a good one.
There's been other examples of Louis Tiant.
Yeah, he got fatter in his years.
There's pictures that...
Guys, you're forgetting the...
Kurt Schilling, to me, always looked like a...
He was pretty frumpy.
He was a chunker.
Yeah.
You're forgetting the big one. Bartolo Colon.
Big sexy.
I mean, that's guy's literally round. He looks like the girl from Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
Ingles does look like a great guy to, like... Get some afternoon beers and watch some footy or soccer with.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does look like the guy that's like blackout drunk at 3 p.m. just like in an Aussie pub.
If you hired... I'm hearing them have that conversation. By the way, that was a really fun broadcast last night. Mm-hmm. They did a good job. If what I'm hearing is... the minute they said that, I said, okay, the knocks just come at the door and here's the guy that I hired that is coming to like hang the TV. Or fix the...
Yeah.
He's going to do... he's the carpenter. Like, he's coming in. He's the carpenter. He's got his toolbox. He's got his carpenter. And he looks like he could beat your ass. He looks like he could potentially beat your ass.
Yeah, well, being 6'8", he'll probably do that, too.
I thought he looked like the poster boy for the Air Monarchs. The dad shoes.
Air dads.
Yeah.
Like, I could picture him with a push mower and a beer. Air Monarchs and jorts. Oh, yeah.
By the way, I have to do a video... not too derailed. Gentleman says to me, sends me an email yesterday, and he goes, I love the show, but bull sheesh is the cop on the email.
Uh-huh.
There ain't any way you're going to a shoe store that's not like a name brand shoe store. I can't wait to go buy. I said, I will buy and I will videotape it. I will videotape going back to where I bought my sneakers as a
What's
kid.
The bag of sneakers thing? I don't really.
They take. They take sneakers and
in the clear plastic bags.
Sneakers in clear plastic bags.
Okay.
And John's had them in bags, so it would be a 9 written on it, like in Sharpie. Eight written on it.
So they're not getting scuffed up with the other shoes.
They're stuffed on the. This place used to be stuffed on the shelves.
Huh.
I am so excited. In fact, I may go today just to go buy. I need another pair of shoes.
What if you wanted to try them on? You got to take them out of the bag.
Yeah, you take them out. You're allowed to do that.
Okay.
But you're also allowed to take them. Or the old policy used to be you could take them and return them. As long as you didn't destroy them or make them, like,
I can't
get them all sweaty.
The last pair of sneakers I bought not from online. It's been a long, long time.
How can you buy sneakers online, though?
I know my size. I'm pretty much a Nike man.
Are you a brand? See, now what I'm finding is, and Bob, maybe you can see this, ever since the plantar fasciitis, the toe box, do they call it?
Yeah.
Is too small with the Nikes.
Oh, really?
Like, it's what the one thing they said to me immediately. They were like, no, the toe box is too small.
Hmm.
You got to go with something else.
I was talking to my buddy yesterday. He just got plantar fasciitis. I was like, dude, get a sleeping brace right now.
I'm going to tell you this. Call Rothman Orthopedics. Because I immediately, one of the things I did was ask, mine was a place called Resurgence in Atlanta. And oh my God, I said the city. And so I would go to Resurgence. And I knew that when it flares up, I had times where it felt like it was debilitating.
Oh yeah, Jamie's described it horribly.
It's awful.
It's all around. So I had and they were like, "Oh, we'll go to Rothman." So that's great. Be able to get in there. We got a lot going on. If you want to share some of your Sixers joy from last night, I would like to hear from you at 610-632-0975. I understand they were loading up the Tasty Cake truck this morning. I think there was a lot of joy going on.
Yeah, Dom and all the boys at the depot are fired up.
I want to hear some of your Sixers joy this morning.
Get excited!
We were excited last night! And boy, it was great, great calls. A lot of fun. So, Doc Rivers, though, in his rotations, what's he up to? We'll find out in the next hour. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I broke my rule. Look, it was March 3rd, and I already broke my rule. And I blame the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Because the Parks Casino Sportsbook app gives you these enticing little treats, these odds boosts, and special bets where you can add a little extra money to it and receive big rewards. So I think they lured me in last night. I did a parlay and I won. I did the over and I did the Sixers +3.5.
Wow.
See that?
What a good night.
Well, that was because of Parks Casino Sportsbook app, and Matt cashed in big too. And you can do the same. I was just saying, if you bet online with the name you trust, you feel like every night you're engaged, you're excited. You're feeling that in-game betting that makes you feel like you're playing daily fantasy. Outstanding customer service. You get all the props, the parlays, the teasers. New customers only. Sign up now. Get your first bet risk-free up to $500. So download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code FANATIC. You can get a risk-free bet refunded in site credit. See the website for details. Bet with Pennsylvania's home team sports betting app. I'm going with the Flyboys tonight. You got to be 21 or older in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for making the John Kincaid Show your choice in the mornings. Little Sixers celebration today. Had a debate last night between two of my nonsensical friends. What do you call this gift that I received from the Philadelphia 76ers, a welcome home gift from the Philadelphia 76ers, and I thank the Sixers for making me feel very much at home, that I'm wearing today my Sixers hoodie.
I got mine on,
too. When somebody gives you a gift or you get something given to you and it's like gear or prize or something, what do you call that?
Swag.
What'd you say?
Swag.
Swag.
Thank you. It is not swag.
No, that's weed.
Correct. Correct. And that's what I said. And that's what, Zoki, you just made my second point for me.
Swag is really like just dirt weed.
Right. That's always what I thought.
Swag.
It was like, swag, your swag is that. Swag is this. Swag is what Shaggy from Scooby-Doo probably has in the back of the mystery.
Brown and has seeds in it.
In the back of the
mystery. You know
where
I first learned what swag was? The David Letterman show.
Yes, they did.
They did something with swag. What was it? It was like
Chris
a rating
Elliott.
System.
No, Chris Elliott.
Chris
Elliott.
Yeah, that's where I first learned what swag was.
By the way, I guess he shouldn't be mentioning his name, but there is a very, very talented comedian here in town who I love and appreciate very much, Joe Conklin,
mm-hmm.
who always reminds me of Chris Elliott.
Yeah,
Chris Elliott,
yeah.
The Letterman Show. The guy under the stage.
Yeah, I could see
guy,
that.
The guy under the stage. I mean, I remember when he didn't even have a name on Letterman. So you would have been a child.
Yeah, I grew up with Big Letterman House.
Well, he was the guy under the stage is how he began.
Okay,
he
right.
was a character that came out from under the stage.
Gotcha.
And very, very
funny. It's pretty funny.
All right, let's get some of your Sixers love coming up here on the show. Devin joins us from Woodbury Heights. Devin, good morning. You're on the Fanatic.
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
How you feel, Devin? Do you feel the same about that Sixers win this morning as you felt last night before going to bed?
You know, it's crazy. I was actually nervous that they weren't going to pull it off because they, like, 9 out of 10 times, if a team that hits 21 threes is basically going to win the game. You know what I mean?
So you're saying sort of what Jamie said earlier, Devin. The idea that that it's almost a good thing the Sixers win the game when they shoot like that because they'll never shoot like that again most nights.
Yeah, exactly. But I really wanted to get on Joel Embiid. This is just my opinion. I know you guys are older. Like, I'm only 26, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I could be your dad. Hustling along here. I get it, Devin.
But in pure perspective of pure dominance, I just feel like Shaq and Embiid, like, are the only three players. I know Kareem, you know, six rings and all that, but, like, as pure dominance, I just feel like he could be the best.
He could be. He's got all the makeup, but Bob, when you talk about Kareem and you talk about, he mentioned Kareem and Shaq.
Yeah.
Two completely different ideas of what the dominant big man is.
Yeah, and look, you can almost compare Kareem and Shaq in ways that they scored down low, and domination goes hand in hand with Shaq, and Kareem had the sky hooks. Embiid isn't either one of them close to
it. No.
I mean, look
at
his...
He's a different breed.
Look at his finishes around the rim. Like, he is such a finesse guy. He's not that power guy at all. He's a finesse guy. He can finish... He's a lot better at finishing around the rim than he has been before.
Oh, my God.
And that's going to get better, right?
All of a sudden now, he, like, does this little finger curl roll at the rim now. It's so smooth. He just gets up and almost, like, drops it down, like rolls it off his fingers.
You heard Shaq has said it on our radio station on this show, the footwork of Embiid.
Yeah,
Shaq talks about his footwork.
It's insane.
Like, that's something where when the greatest of the game will go, okay, I'm gonna give this kid a nod on this, his footwork. I mean, he's so much more nimble. I think he's more nimble than Kareem ever was.
Yeah, his interior ball fakes are just incredible. And it used to bother me, like, all right, you're 7'2". Why are you coming down and triple pumping when you should just be dunking over people? And I still see that sometimes where he could be doing that. But his finesse game is incredible.
Tony in Springfield joins us. Tony, you are on 97.5 The Fanatic. How are you this morning?
Talk about my favorite Philly team, and that's the Sixers. I believe they're going to the finals, dude. They're getting a lot of praise from the national media. I don't know if you know that. They're loving the Sixers now. I mean, my God. And Embiid, if he doesn't win the MVP, the NBA is a farce. I mean, come on, he can't give it to LeBron again.
I don't think they are. I think the fact that LeBron has the plugs, should rule him out, right?
Yeah,
because he's a fraud. He went and got plugs.
But the teams that that drafted before the Sixers, they gave up on Embiid. The Sixers didn't pick him number one, right?
Three.
Yeah.
Oh, three got. Man, now, wait a minute, though. The injury.
Unproven. He's unproven.
They got lucky. The first two picks were busts.
They got so lucky. Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, we were all part of it.
You were right there eyeballing it.
Yeah.
Was there, if the Sixers had had the second pick, would they have picked Embiid?
I think they would have.
Well, if Wiggins went one, I think they would have taken Embiid,
well,
too.
Well, Wiggins would have, right?
Yeah, I mean,
Wiggins went one.
Look, Brett Brown came out afterwards, even after they got Embiid, and said, look, we were playing for Wiggins. I mean, there was no doubt about it. That's who they wanted.
I just got the problem, though, with anybody is that, and no problem with the gentleman. They're very, very excited about Joel Embiid. I get the heebie-jeebies when people start comparing Embiid to Shaq or Embiid to Kareem. His resume isn't even.
Yeah.
Resume is in pencil right now. He's not even. He doesn't belong in that conversation.
He needs 6-7 more years a very high level to get near that conversation.
But aren't you excited?
Look, they put up a stat last night. I saw it on Twitter or something. I think that was Joel's fifth 40-10 game of the season. The rest of the NBA has three. I mean, he took the lead for the MVP last night.
Yeah.
He snatched that away.
Pat Egan disagrees.
Yeah, no, I think he's better than Shaq and Kareem combined.
Oh, well, you'll have to tell that to Shaq next time.
Guess what?
I was on.
Guess what? I think you're going to get...
I'll say it over the phone. I'll say it over the phone. Absolutely.
No, wait till in person. The Eastern Conference Finals.
I won't be here. If you missed it last night, halftime, and it fell perfectly.
The wrestling?
Because I was waiting to watch Shaq wrestle. And so halftime literally started. They went to halftime, and the match began.
That's perfect.
And Shaq was wrestling with this very attractive... female wrestler, I can't think of her name. And then the other female wrestler that was wrestling with the flamboyant looking man she was called Red Velvet.
Jade Cargill? Is that one?
Is that who he was wrestling with?
I don't know. I just Googled Shaq female wrestler and she was the first one.
It might be. African American lady?
I have no idea.
Pretty? She was pretty.
Yes.
She was jacked.
Shaq and Jade Cargill versus Cody Rhodes and Red Velvet.
And guess what? I was having a hankering for some cupcakes last night.
Oh, yeah? Jade Cargill, what up?
After halftime. I'm telling you, all I could think of, Pat, was having
Jade
some...
Jade Cargill.
There were no cupcake places open there and over on Weed Way.
I'm sure. I heard Rastafarian Road was the new one for yesterday.
That's a great... Is that from Dad?
Yeah. Yeah, he texted that in.
Dad, you rock.
Jade Cargill's cut up, man.
Okay, now, that was... It was...
You just lost me.
It's so funny, though, but it's so weird.
Jamie's done for the show.
Not being a wrestling person, I do love scripted dramas, but I'll stick to Port Charles. But I watched that last night, and I found myself laughing out loud. It was highly entertaining. But here's the one that I can't. It's from, like, the old Batman show. Like, where you think you've got the bad guy down, and then they turn their back on him and start playing to the crowd, and you see the person getting off him. I'm like, come on.
Did you see Embiid's tweet to the wrestling aspect of things? To Donovan Mitchell last night? That's the second time I got you teed up last night.
Yeah?
Like, he...
He did.
He was playing into the non-crowd, but he was playing.
He was.
He knew all eyes were on him last night.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
He eats it up.
I think Donovan Mitchell, we can all agree, he was injured last night mentally.
Yeah, I was going to say his feelings.
Well, he can call Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com, and maybe they'll be willing to hear his case.
Well, you know.
Because everybody's against him.
If the refs didn't shoot, 12 for 34 from the field, maybe they win that game.
Can you believe, though? Now, I always laugh when somebody will say something that's so obvious that I never thought of. And Jamie saying... I think it was a great thing that they made 20 last night and they won because they're never going to shoot like that. Like on a normal night,
not 55%.
Sixers are never going to face somebody that's going to shoot like that.
No,
maybe one game in a 7-game series.
Yeah.
So that's a good positive.
Good point.
There you go. Positive.
Yeah. I didn't like how easily they were giving up threes last night.
But that's Utah, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they do. They are
open looks.
They're good.
Yeah, they are a great spacing team, like Ala pointed out last night. But yeah, just too many wide open looks. It kind of disappointed me.
By the way, to the crew at the Mike Missinelli show, I would say take a look at Quinn Snyder on that bench. Quinn Snyder is a guy who got a second chance. Quinn Snyder is a guy who got another opportunity to show, I got to revitalize, had people believe in him, and he is spectacular. He is a spectacular
coach. He's a great coach. He's really good. And when he was an assistant here, I guess it was under Doug Collins.
He rebuilt his entire reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just widely known that he was going to be very good in this league. It's just he had to take care of himself first.
Let's get to the linchpin where Doc's toying with us a little bit.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, Doc's rotations stood out to me last night, and I went back and read some of his old Clippers, the blogs and tweets, you know, from the playoff elimination. And one of the big harps in the past with Doc and his teams is his kind of stubbornness with his rotations. And that's kind of what Clippers fans were sick of by the end there. He sticks to his guns, and he sticks to what he believes in. Last night, Utah kind of pulled away in the second quarter, and me and my buddy were texting. We're like, yeah, where are the starters? And it was Dave Madden, actually. Me and him were texting. He knows hoops. I'm going, yeah. And I look out on the court. It's Thibault, Mike Scott, Furkan, Shake, and Dwight Howard. Now, I don't personally believe in the hockey shift substitution changes where it's five in, five out.
Oh, okay.
I like a little staggering. I would have kept, you know, Shake and Ben with Dwight and maybe Thibault and keep a Tobias in. I'd like to see this because Utah had their starters out and they went on a run versus the Sixers bench unit and Doc stuck with them. And, you know, he kind of let them play through it a little bit to the disadvantage of the team. And look, maybe he saw something at the end of the game where he didn't care about the second quarter as much. But I'm kind of getting the impression he's going to stick to his rotations, that or he's at a point where he's kind of toying around with it to see, like, last chance. I want to see the playoff rotations starting in the second half of the season. I don't want the five on, five out.
I think you will. I think you'll start to see it as the season goes on a little bit more. I just think head coaches are, it's a marathon, not a sprint. So playing that out right now.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt with it. But I don't want to see that late.
But did you say you do think in the postseason we'll see that? Five and five?
No. I do think that we'll see what Jamie wants to see, and that's the playoff rotation in the second half of the season. I think once Doc Rivers really gets to know this team, I think he's still like auditioning a Korkmaz and, you know, some other guys. I think I would say with about 15 games to go, you might see that 8-9 man special guy rotation.
I don't think what we see now is even close to what we're going to see.
But apparently LA saw it.
They did. They did. That is one of the knocks that was on Doc.
Which gives me a little concern.
I'll tell you this, though, Pat. I love the fact. It's one of the things that I love most about watching Doc Rivers is that in a regular season, he's getting guys minutes.
Yeah.
So that way somebody isn't being thrown into the fire when you need him in an emergency and they haven't played.
Yeah, he's figuring out what he has in these guys, but I also think he's cognizant of the fact that what he's going to have in the playoffs is not what he has now because they're going to improve their bench.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, he has to figure out, why. What do I have in Thibault? What do I have in Shake? What do I have in Korkmaz?
I know, and that's what's keeping me rational and sane.
You're not rational
and
sane.
And you're not sane, exactly.
Well, I may not be sane, but I'd like to pride myself on being rational. About? I just want to see the staggered substitutions.
I think you will. I don't think you have to worry.
I think that sounds
right,
like
I hope you're right, Bob.
I got you.
Hey, you may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. That's what Ron Jaworski told me to do, and honestly,
sensational.
When Ron Jaworski tells me to do something,
you listen, yeah. Of course.
He tells me to come and play free golf this summer, I'll do it.
Wow. I have no shame in asking for free things. Don't worry. I'll pull the strings.
We still have our Jaworski golf cards. That's We're good true. To go.
Now, what is the Jaworski golf card?
So one of our salespeople of the six courses, you can play any of the six courses, and I think it's like $20, right?
$25. You basically pay a cart fee, more or less, and
take all's my money.
Yeah,
like is that part of it? Is take all's my money?
Next week, maybe we should get out.
I'll tell you something. It's feeling really good. I want to get new clubs though, but I'm going to get new clubs.
Oh, I got new irons for that's from my Santa.
Gift. That's my gift.
Can't wait.
Did you get fitted?
Yeah.
Or did someone buy them for you?
Somebody bought them for me, but that included the fitting.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good. Because that would be horrible.
I only played with them once so far, and the first one I hit.
You felt it?
I felt the flushness and the Yeah, it was sweet.
See, I need to.
It was the first time in my life I've gotten brand new clubs, so it was.
Oh, okay.
It was orgasmic.
Oh, it is. No, seriously, it is.
It is.
It's pretty awesome. It is awesome.
You feel it.
It is awesome.
I don't have new clubs. I just go out and play with my old clubs and beat the pants off of Jamie.
You're the person who you haven't played with used clubs your whole life, have you?
Oh no, these are new clubs that I got probably about 10 years ago, I guess.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Because I've been told my I have Callaway
XRs,
X14s, X20s. Like they're completely outdated.
Oh really? Oh yeah. I didn't know club technology changed like every 3 years.
And
like,
I was told that because one thing I do not get, I hit a very low ball. Very low ball.
Stingers?
I do not get loft, but I'm very good with. I tend to be very good with accuracy.
I would make that trade.
Where I want the ball to go, I can usually get it to go pretty close to where I want it to go.
I would make that trade every day.
I don't get the distance that I need though.
Distance, just no accuracy.
I swear to you. When I've been playing, when I get warmed
Jamie's
up,
so much fun to play with.
When I get warmed up and playing, I could probably. There will be 6-7 holes where I will be less than a full arm's length from the green where my shot in regulation, where I just miss. I'm a club short. I'm a swing short because I don't get that loft.
Yeah.
I don't get that loft to be able to check that out. So the Sixers, though, that was pretty good. Now they have vacation. Anybody concerned about the NBA players going on vacation? Like, you know, the guys who aren't going anything all-star, you concerned that
if I was Tobias Harris, I would be on an island so damn quick. I'd already be there. I would have flown out last night. Charter.
Oh, trust me. They try to make
I'd be waking up on the ocean right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I just got a text that I know Jade Cargill.
You do?
That big
name dropper.
I don't know that how can it be a name dropper? I didn't know her name, and I didn't know that I know her, but one of my old coworkers is watching on YouTube this morning, and he goes, that's Brandon Phillips' woman.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, good for
who
Brandon.
He played for a baseball team that plays in the state of Georgia that I won't mention the city. But that's his woman. And you met her at spring training, and he says, I'll dig up the picture. You got a picture with her.
Ah. Did she have that 8-pack?
Because has a picture. I don't remember.
She didn't make an impression at all on you.
She was.
I'm sure she's going around saying that she met you.
No, I'm sure she's going. Who the hell would that be? I had no idea, though. That's
Brandon Phillips, huh? He was a good player.
He bounced around a lot at the end.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one of those.
But he had that 5-year gap where he was pretty damn good.
Oh, really? No, he was really good.
Yeah.
He was really good when he played for that city that begins with an A. And he was.
What about the city?
Boston, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Anaheim, California. Yeah. Ashland, North Carolina.
Yes.
Altoona, Pennsylvania. Yes. All these great cities. You don't want to mention cities. People are very sensitive. We want to make sure about that. Flyers in action tonight. What do you expect? What are you expecting tonight?
Just something. I don't know.
I got to tell you this. I expected Sixers and Flyers to make a run this year, and I'm going to be pissed if they don't.
Sixers are holding up their end. Flyers aren't, not, but they got to get it together. I mean, they're still point-wise in fairly good shape.
Yeah, but it really concerns me, and this would go with Sixers too, when you just don't show up to games randomly. Like, that is not a team, in my opinion, that's going to go far.
They haven't done that much this year.
I've seen 3 or 4.
Yeah, probably about 3 or 4.
6-1 losses.
That's a lot of games for young kids.
Yeah.
And now look, I know they were shorthanded in the
Tahoe game.
The carnival game that the commissioner put on when he didn't even know how to execute it. But to me, that was an inexcusable effort. That was like a letdown. Like we're let down.
Wait, that game or the game the other night?
No, well, the other night was terrible.
Yeah.
The other night was just terrible.
Yeah, and I can't have that. I can't look. You can lose 5-3. You can lose 5-2. Whatever, and you could say, okay, they got outplayed. They didn't even come to play a few times this year.
Yeah, they kind of remind me, like the Sixers and them have done a complete role reversal from last season. Last season, the Sixers had all the hype around them, and they fell flat. The Flyers didn't really have that hype around them. And look what they did. Sixers had some hype around them coming into the season, obviously, but I don't think anyone expected the number one seed right now. Flyers came in after the bubble, and everyone expected, well, a lot of people expected, myself included, them to make a cup run, and they've completely disappointed.
I mean, to me, this is a team that is right now, I'm going to use the U word, underachieving. And that's
fair.
That's bad for a young team.
Yeah, they need some defensive help big time.
Well, I think they need an exorcism.
They need Matt Niskanen back ghost, from wherever he's fishing.
They've got ghosts, and I think they need an exorcism. Because that was so terrible the other night. And guess what? I know teams can, in hockey too, teams can really let down when they're dominating a game, they're winning the game, and one player's stupid play causes a turnover, which causes a breakaway goal, which then, you know, I would suggest maybe some netting between the pads for one of the Flyers goaltenders would maybe help too.
And you can't sit. You can't sit ghost tonight.
No.
You're short on defenders.
I will tell you that there is a all-star game going on this weekend in an American city that I won't mention, but I'm only going to tell you it's not good. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
I've already talked about how I smashed the live line during the Sixers game. I also hit it before the game. I was extremely confident. But before the game, I hit the innovative parlay selector for BetMGM. So I had Joel Embiid getting a double-double, Joel Embiid getting one or more blocks. I had Ben Simmons over 25 points, assists, rebounds, Tobias Harris over points, assists, rebounds, Joel Embiid. So I combined this entire parlay from this one single game, and I cashed in. And it's one of the more exciting features of BetMGM. You can design an entire parlay in a single game, which gives you over 400 bet types, including, as I said, you got team props, player props, every kind of prop you can think of. What you have to do is you log in your BetMGM account and you take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, the over in points for Joel Embiid, because that's a lock at this point. One game parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win, total, and prop picks. If you're new to BetMGM, all you have to do is sign up and make every play of every game matter more than ever. I got to be honest. I was sweating it out. But, you know, Tobias Harris came up clutch, and that earned me some cash. You can make one-game parlay bets on soccer and NBA games, and they have more sports coming soon. Log in today or download the BetMGM app to try one-game parlay. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER, partnership with Ohio Casino Morgantown.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I'll give Bob $30 if he can name this group.
Why $30?
I don't know.
Where did that come from?
I think that's
where did $30 come from?
I think that's what I have in my wallet, maybe.
Oh, look at you.
No, I have $10. Must have spent 20 somewhere.
Well, then you know Bob 20.
Well, then I'll take the $20 bottle of wine and the 10 in your pocket.
I'm still not sure you can
get
this.
It's Outkast. Everybody knows who it is.
Yeah, it's Outkast.
I just played in the Eagles hand for you.
Wait a minute. Did you set him up? Did you tell?
I
did not think you would know. So would you have known or not?
I don't know anything.
It's definitely not Outkast.
No, it's not.
Exactly. How about
Egan said Outkast?
How about
of course
he did. I thought it was Jazzy Jeff.
Yes, you win. You win a T-shirt
and Jamie's $10.
Gorillaz.
Ding ding ding.
Gorillaz? Can you name the group that the guy who created the band came from?
Because they're a faceless.
Okay, let me keep my hands
cartoon.
Up. Let me keep my hands
group,
up.
Group kind of.
Disgusting. Okay, let me keep my hands on. Let me think on that one. But we'll get to that. Maybe something will come to me.
Somebody on YouTube's definitely going to get it immediately.
Well, I'm not looking at YouTube at this point, so.
You better get your eyes off that.
Hey, 7 a.m. hours brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download at parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic and get up to a $500 risk-free bet for new customers. Get on in. We love it when you do. The NBA is having an all-star weekend. I believe it's in Albuquerque.
Yes. Cities that start with A, John.
I think it's in Albuquerque.
How would you do in Jeopardy in that category?
Well, there's one I wouldn't give the answer to. I'll tell you that much. I can promise you that. I wouldn't be saying that. Would not be saying that.
Well, who didn't see this coming today?
Foods that start with Z.
The Allentown All-Star Game is going to be awesome.
By the way, and you can even check the YouTube. Blur.
Yeah, it's going to work for you.
Wow.
Blur. And Pat Egan just told me a little nugget in my ear.
That, and he did not tell me that. You did not, Egan, just
I did not.
Me.
No, he didn't.
You did not feed me that.
Do you know the street artist Banksy?
I know the name.
Yeah, he's very famous. His work sell for millions now.
Okay.
Pat said that the lead singer of Blur was rumored to be Banksy also.
Yeah, I saw a really good documentary during the Philly Film Festival called Banksy Most Wanted, where they tried to figure out who Banksy is because he's a faceless artist. And there's one guy who's convinced, and he made a convincing argument about the guy from Blur being Banksy, and he based it off of where Blur's concerts were, where the Gorillaz were performing, where art would show up, and it was interesting.
Huh. That is interesting. I like that. I like little conspiracy theories like that. Well, the NBA is playing their All-Star weekend. I believe it's Altoona or Anaheim is where they're going to have their weekend. And I can only tell you this. I think it's an absolutely ridiculous look for the NBA. And the NBA will claim that they have nothing to say about it, and I will disprove that. The parties that are going to go on this weekend in Anaheim for All-Star Game weekend are pretty amazing. You like Lil Baby?
Lil Baby, the recording artist?
Yes.
I haven't gotten too much into him, but...
Who doesn't?
Bob's a big Lil Baby guy.
Bob's a big Lil Baby guy?
Yeah, definitely.
Lil Baby will be...
Everybody's all sixered up today.
Lil Baby will be performing.
Nice.
Now, it's the... Everybody associates Albuquerque with Migos.
Yes.
So, I know Dansby Swanson will probably be going up from spring training to go see Migos. They'll be performing. I do not know Jada Weta. Should I?
Jada Weta.
Do you know Jada Weta?
You don't have to concern yourself.
How about Bob's favorite? Now, this morning, you don't realize Bob and I pull up around the same time. Bob was blasting some Young Thug this morning.
Oh, well, yeah. I wasn't feeling it real great when I got up this morning, so I said, let me throw some Young in.
Rick Ross.
I love Rick Ross.
Oh, man.
Guess what? He has a gig going on.
Oh, hell yeah. I would go to that.
By the way, if we were in Albuquerque,
he's a boss.
If we were in Albuquerque, I could get you into any of these events.
Nice. Me and my wife love Rick Ross.
I've got great connections.
Can I say where the All-Star Game is?
No, don't say it. Don't say it because it might offend somebody. We don't want to do that.
He's 8 years old.
How about Jeezy?
Young Jeezy? Yeah.
How about that?
No, I'd like older.
You like old Jeezy?
Okay. Now, I know who Gucci Mane is.
Yeah. He's got the ice cream tattoo.
Okay, but I don't know who Pooh Shiesty is.
Pooh? I don't know Pooh Shiesty.
Well, what do you say, Pooh?
Well, Gucci Mane is performing at Opium.
Ah.
Really, in Anaheim this weekend. At the All-Star Weekend.
Sounds like a party.
But Trey Songz?
Yeah, I know Trey Songz.
Tell me why I should know Trey Songz, because I think I do.
Hasn't he written a lot for other people?
I know, that's a name that seems believable.
Yeah, you would recognize his music.
How about Future? I know Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the father of Russell Wilson and Sierra's stepchild.
How about
Sierra's kid?
How about who's NBA young boy?
I don't know that one.
You don't know?
Wait a minute, no. NBA young boy got postponed.
Yeah, well, he's got something else going on. He's going to be in Anaheim, not Albuquerque.
He was going to be at Opium this weekend.
He's 21, These new rappers, I get a little lost on.
How about Money Yaya?
Nah.
How about Moneybag Yo?
Moneybag, I'm losing my coolness.
The fun of this segment is just being able to see Bob's reaction.
Honestly, Moneybag Yo, is that an Anthony thing?
Yo? Hey, cuz, we got a yo,
it's Moneybag.
We got a Moneybag Yo.
He's a Memphis, Tennessee rapper.
Okay, and then 50 Cent. It's also
I know that one.
Yeah, there it is. And 50 Cent is playing Whiskey Blue. Which, if Bob and I rolled into Whiskey Blue, it would still be considered cool. So, 50 Cent is where the cool kids... My point being, Lil Baby is also performing with Lil Durk.
I don't know Lil
Durk. And they're both in the Lil family. So, they related?
Well, wait, Dirk Nowitzki became a rapper?
Lil Baby, L-I-L, is performing with Lil Dirk. L-I-L Dirk, D-U-R-K. Wow. So I'm just saying is, what I'm trying to figure out is this. These are huge events.
Or low events.
I confirm.
L-I-L.
Bob's having much more fun than this than I even expected. I'm loving this. The idea is that I've confirmed that a lot of these people are on the NBA. They will be in attendance at the game.
Oh, I would very much imagine so.
How the hell are they there?
In the suites. I mean,
all suite life. The NBA is saying publicly, don't come to Albuquerque for All-Star Game Weekend. We don't want you in Altoona for All-Star Game Weekend. And yet all these celebrities have booked some of the premier, like, places that you would ever visit in Alabama. And they're going to be performing at these venues this weekend.
In Abilene. Yeah.
They will be there. And these are prime venues. These aren't venues that are... These are venues where the party people hang.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this is the NBA being... This is the NBA's got their fingerprints all over this.
Hypocritical.
Well, they're saying, don't come. Don't go. We don't want you to be there. And then they're doing this. We don't want you in Amsterdam. We don't want you to come for the weekend. And then they're doing this.
Yeah.
These events. And no one can tell me that the NBA is not involved. That they're not involved. And no one can tell me that there won't be NBA players that will be in attendance
at these events. Yeah, that's a lock.
Not necessarily guys playing in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because they will probably have them under some sort of public lockdown. They'll make sure that they've got cameras everywhere.
So you think players that aren't playing in the game will be there?
Oh, they're going to come to party in Albuquerque. Everybody goes to Albuquerque to party. It's a great city.
So non-participants?
Yes, I guarantee you.
I mean, some Hawks players, I would guarantee, are out and about.
Yeah.
That'd be a long way for the Hawks players
to travel. That's true.
Yeah. Amarillo's a good place to go this time of year. I would hope and wouldn't be surprised if each NBA team has told their players, no.
Don't be seen?
Yeah, no, don't go there. Go to an island, I don't care, all that stuff. Do not go down to Amarillo. Where you can be seen.
I mean, if they were caught or seen maskless at one of these, you know, rap events or, you know, performances in town, they would have to quarantine and do the whole thing.
Yeah, and Augusta's going to be really crowded.
I can assure you, as a guy who lived in Augusta at one time, I can assure you that the NBA and athletes, when they have these events in Augusta, they flood into Augusta to come and party. From all different... Now, baseball players will be at spring training.
Mm-hmm.
So it won't be. I guarantee you, NFL players will be there.
Oh, no doubt.
Guarantee.
No doubt.
They'll be there. College athletes will be there.
Yep.
This is going to be an A-list event. A-list. And the NBA claims that they don't want anyone coming to Anaheim for the event.
A little hypocritical.
I just think that this is... Especially right now, the optics of this is bad. The optics of this is really bad for the NBA. And Commissioner Silver is usually better than that, Bob.
Yeah, we had this argument and you know, John, you make the great point that it's going to bring in money and it helps the players and the lower end players and all that. But one, I think that they could have fined, you're the NBA. If you want to fine 1 year to call off an All-Star game and pay players, you know, what it would have garnered, you could have done that. I am. I'm shocked that they're having this, and
I'm surprised because of this. I mean, these are big party venues. Like, it's going to be A-list party people will roll into town.
And nothing.
By the way, you're going to have celebrities who've been telling everybody mask up, you know, hide, stay in your house. That are going to be partying this weekend in Albuquerque, and I promise.
So in Abilene, since you're familiar with it, is there any percentage of places having restrictions of being open, or is it 100% capacity?
The announcement that was made by Governor Wolf on March the 1st was made in the state of Georgia May the 1st.
So
10 months, and when I told everybody,
what's the capacity? I don't even know where PA's at capacity wise. 50%?
I mean, it's, no, they're
of indoor.
No, but it's a is a where yeah, it's at so I think some places can be 50%
Yeah, I don't even know anymore. And I gave up trying.
But the same restrictions that are now in place March 1st, they were the restrictions put in place May 1st.
But so can these clubs be at 100% down there, or are they still 50%?
No, they're like 75%.
Okay,
but you can't stand at the bar.
Okay.
Yeah, still can't do
you
that.
You can't stand at bars. If they have seating at bars, you can have 50% seating.
Okay.
So if you usually had 20 spots, you literally have to have them blocked off.
Yeah. So these places are going to be exclusively VIP events.
And so that means who's going to be there? Celebrities.
Oh, 100% celebrities.
Yeah.
I just think it's a bad look for the NBA.
So do I. You know, you're probably right. I was thinking like it's going to be... There, it's not going to get flocked to, but you know that state better than us and how open it is.
I do. I'm a big fan of Disneyland's right there in Anaheim.
All right, what city that begins with the letter A is the most populated
in the world?
No, in the United States. I'm sorry,
Austin. No, it can't be Austin.
Austin's pretty big.
Austin's a very good guess, and it is correct.
It is correct.
Yeah,
it is.
Austin's bigger than you think.
By the way, have you spent?
I haven't. I've missed two business, bachelor parties there.
Two business trips in Austin. Loved it.
I heard. Yeah, I always wanted to go South by Southwest. Loved it.
Do you like Nashville?
Haven't been.
You haven't been to Nashville either?
No.
Kyle just went to Nashville and loved
Nashville's
it.
Nashville's a great town.
I've heard it's awesome.
Nashville's a great town. Austin is Nashville on steroids. If you like Nashville, and it's not just, I'm not talking country music or anything, even though there are
great rock music venues. Yeah.
No, but there's... great music venues of any kind you like. And when it's nice weather in Austin.
And barbecue.
You're walking along at night in like the districts and all the places have up like the string lights and you hear live music.
Yeah.
And you go sit outside and there's an acoustic guitar guy here. There's a rock band.
One of my favorite guitarists is from Austin, Gary Clark Jr. And really? I've always wanted to go. I've missed two bachelor parties there.
He's not Amigos.
No, he's not.
See, I know that. Hey, if you're driving less, you can be saving more on car insurance. Save money with pay-per-mile insurance from Allstate. Call a local Allstate agent today and get yourself a quote. Make sure that you do that. A funny story I'll tell you off the air about that I just heard the other day. Joe in Camden joins us. Joe, you're on the Fanatic. Good morning.
Yo.
You got a yo. Hey, cuz, we got a yo.
My bad. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
I love the show, man.
Thanks, man. First of all, it's Pooh Shiesty.
Pooh Shiesty, he the hottest out right now. So
really?
I don't know if you like rap music. I don't know. I love rap.
I'm with you, Joe.
Seriously, Joe, you're telling me if I go today and download some music that I should download Shiesty?
100,000%.
Okay, here's the only thing is, he can't be filthy.
I mean, you can get, like, the edited version.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. I'll do that. All right, good.
But, yeah, man, I'm from Chester, but I live in Richmond right now, so I just love y'all's show, man, and this station in general, man. Give me, like, that at-home feel, and, you know, it makes this transition a little easier for me. But
thank you, buddy.
Real fast, man, just Embiid, it's just, he on another planet right now, man. It's just unbelievable, like, and he's always had this talent, but, like, now he's finally buckling down. It's like he's not hurt as much, and he's not, you know, like, with all the extra antics, and he's not crying as much. Like, he's just going out there.
He's a grown-ass man, right?
A grown-ass man. I said, me and my friend was texting last night. I'm like, Gobert is a child. Like, Rudy Gobert is a child, man. He not, you know what I mean?
Hey, I love it. Also, he's a dad. Joey's a dad now. And I think it really did have something to do with it. You say hello to everybody in Richmond for us.
Pooh Shiesty just pulled up his Spotify. I'll check it out on the
Shiesty.
Way home.
Shiesty. Yeah, I'm going
to... Just get in my car after the...
He's got Shiesty.
His biggest hit is with Little Durk.
I always thought Shiesty was just Joe Zeef, Marcel's team.
I often call him Shiesty. Yeah.
I thought he was Shiesty.
Yeah.
Good hair on Joe Zeef.
I just watched the video of Shaq going through the table last night.
That had to hurt.
No, really? Probably not.
Okay, Jamie.
I know but it's still athletic to like
Joe,
do those things.
Here's what I'm going to say to you. Full screen at the commercial. Pull up the video and look at the tables.
Oh, okay. Is there pads under them?
They're balsa wood.
It's still like you're falling down like 8 feet, right?
You're still falling backwards.
Onto total padding.
Is it total padding?
It's padding like the gymnasts jump off onto and everything.
All right, I'll take a look at it.
The tables are balsa wood.
Okay.
You know how
it's not the tables. You know it's how more the fall.
You know how in the you know Bob.
Yes.
When one of our favorites, Maurice Bernard, showed me that you can take one of Sonny's glasses and he would throw them. The mobster would throw his glasses.
Mm-hmm.
They're made of sugar. They're made of like sugar or rock salt.
There's a stuntman prop guy on YouTube that like exposes all the stuff that they use, and I've seen the glass.
Sonny's glasses are made. He'll have real glasses, and then he'll pick one up, and it's made of like rock salt or rock candy that looks like glass. And he literally will take it and throw it, and it just shatters. And it's candy. It's like rock candy. See?
Interesting.
Take them out of the wheel. See that? There you
very
go.
Interesting. Learn something new every
between
day.
Between that and Bob's I'm rap knowledge.
Yeah.
There you go. The Lynch in the Lynchpin. Let's get our grades out.
This is the Lynchpin.
All right, we're going to do a little exercise here. We're going to buzz around, the four of us. No thinking, no explaining.
Yep.
That's not hard for some.
That should be the tag for this show.
Yes, we're going to go through the top 10 rotation guys on the Sixers. Just give the gut grade that comes to mind. John, we'll start with you. Ben Simmons.
A-.
Bob.
A.
Pat.
B+.
I'm an A-. Joel Embiid.
A plus.
Tobias Harris.
B+.
A-. B+.
I'm A- as well. Seth Curry.
B-.
He
turned in all his homework at the beginning of the semester.
Yeah.
And then stopped turning in assignments.
C+. Yeah, I'm C+.
I'm a B-.
See me? Yeah, there you go.
Danny Green.
C.
C+.
C+, I agree.
You agree with Bob, then?
I thought Pat said that as well.
I agree with Bob.
Shake Milton.
B-.
B-. B-.
All right, I'm pretty much in agreement there, Shake. Tyrese Maxey.
On a rookie kind of curve? I'll give Maxey a B.
B-. C-.
Wow!
I'm a B-. I would like to see a little more J's. Matisse Thybulle.
B-.
I'm there, B-, yeah. C.
I'm a B+.
Egan has some tough grading. That's all I'm going to say for this. You're a tough grader.
Furkan Korkmaz.
C.
D+.
I'm a C-.
Are you reading your high school transcript?
How did you know?
Because you didn't go to Temple.
And finally, big man.
Too soon.
Dwight Howard.
I'm going to give Dwight Howard a solid B.
A-.
Wow.
Yeah, B.
I think a B.
I think he does so much for that team on that second unit.
He does a lot.
That's really good, though, the idea of just firing it off. And just having to just not think and
just the grade that comes.
I didn't know where you're going.
Gut instinct.
Yeah,
of what we do.
Team,
and it proves again that we don't.
If you're collecting the grades we all just gave, I mean, I think that would probably average out to at least a B+, maybe an A-.
A-.
Yeah, team A-.
A-.
Doc Rivers.
A.
Plus.
Egan. A+.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's hard not to give him an A+.
I hear you.
If you're in the number one seed.
To me, it's so interesting. I'm fascinated with Doc Rivers. I'm also fascinated though to see like a Joe Girardi manage up close and personal.
Right.
To be able to see that. Alain Vigneault is a tactician of the game. Is a guy like we're in a really good spot.
Yeah, we are. I just thought of that because you said let's do the front office. Daryl Morey and Elton Brand combined grade. Go.
I'm giving Elton Brand the higher grade because I don't know what Daryl Morey's fingerprints have been yet. So I'm giving Elton Brand right now an A-. I'm giving Daryl Morey a B+.
I'll go A- on Elton, and I'll go A- Daryl Morey.
I will go for Elton A-. For Daryl Morey, I feel like incomplete.
Yeah, like it's like
that's why I just kind of lumped them together.
Bob, what do you hear about his fingerprints on this team right now? Like, how much? How much does he have to do with the roster that's on the field, on the court this year?
Well,
give,
it was,
give him credit for
it. It was a short time period. I mean, it was only, what, 3 weeks he came in, and then the draft came. So I put most of it on Elton.
Elton did a good job.
Yeah, Elton did a very good job. Now, I mean, some of the moves that were made after that, I think, you know, like Danny Green's and stuff like that.
Thibel's value around the league, they're saying, could get a lottery pick in return. So that's that's an A-plus for Elton right there.
Yeah. Check out the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parxcasino.com/PA. Use the promo code Fanatic, and you get a risk-free bet up to 500, which is a great, great thing to be able to do. I'm telling you this, we saw a tactician, a group of tacticians at work last night that we'll get to. Plus, we are going to get to it today. Jamie's Mock Draft 6.0. There's nothing that's going to derail us, but your calls
can. No, not at all.
At 610-632-0975. It's the John Kincaid Show, and you're listening to 97.5, The Fanatic. Okay, let me tell you this right now. Your home, you can improve its value in so many different ways. One of the ways is making sure that the things that are staples of the home, like your windows, are really in good shape. Because curb appeal matters. Draftiness matters in a negative fashion. And being able to invest in your home now and pay for it in 2023 is a game changer. That's why my friends at Window Nation right now are offering you, get two free windows for every two that you buy, make no down payment, no payments, pay no interest for two full years. You are going to be saving thousands. And why do I feel extremely confident to send you to Window Nation? How about over 1 million windows installed? How about an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating? How about over 10,000 online positive reviews? In other words, it's not just me talking. It's their customers talking. And right now, with this deal on the table, you can invest in your home and pay for it in 2 years. Gives you plenty of time to budget for it. Window Nation wants your home value to go up. This is how you do it. Do your window shopping online at windownation.com. Then call them at 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION. Would you please tell them that John Kincaid sent you?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
This Pooh Shiesty has some, lays down some nice beats. This is a good one. Is this one of his hits?
It is. It's the latest one.
This sounds something you could get jiggy with. It really does.
Jiggy? Come on.
I was just going to say.
Really
that.
Yeah.
What a nerd.
It really does. Or is this one of those samplings? Which has become the rage now, meaning just take someone else's work and put your name on it?
They pay for it.
I understand. It's like, it'd be like saying, Pat Egan did the term paper last year for the class. I buy it from Pat Egan and I put my name on it. Now it's my work.
What do I care? I get money for it.
It's like the Munsters song. It's like the Munsters song that became the Uma Thurman song. And everyone's like, yeah, the Uma Thurman. I'm like, what? It's the Munsters. I mean, seriously. It's a great racket if you can get it.
Right. You got to go back to when the music was great to make it good again.
Right. It's a great. Yeah. But when you're going to TV theme songs from the 60s, that's really where you get at it. Egan's just looking.
That song sucked.
No, it didn't.
Oh, that song was terrible.
What song?
Fall Out Boy.
Fall Out Boy's the Uma Thurman song?
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it.
Wait a minute. Egan,
I'll pull it up. I mean, this
Fall Out Boy is not really my wheelhouse.
See if Joe Bell has his. It can pull up his playlist.
Joe's a big Fall Out Boy guy?
I'm sure. Are you kidding me? I'm sure the big bosses got some Fall Out Boy there. Considering that I do, and I am one of the squarest white people on the planet. I absolutely. And I love that one of our listeners says, hearing Kincaid name off all of these artists sounds like a comedy skit set up by the whitest kids that you know. It absolutely does. And by the way, Tommy says, don't forget about Dame Dalla. He'll be in Anchorage this weekend, too. Maybe he'll perform.
Superstar Dame Dalla.
Maybe he'll perform.
Nice. Yeah. Surprised my guys Run the Jewels aren't performing.
You know what
there.
I told Dame? Okay.
This song's called Uma Thurman.
You'll hear it.
It'll eventually kick in. Yeah, this is the only
it's
one
not
we
like
have.
It's Bruce the Monsters song by the...
That's the Monsters.
Yes.
Right there.
Damn it.
You don't recognize this?
Starring Fred Gwynn. Yvonne DiCarlo.
Butch Patrick.
Pat Priest.
You love Butch Patrick.
And Beverly Owen. There were two Marilyns. And Grandpa. Come on. Al Lewis.
Morgan Freeman.
Al Lewis, Grandpa. Al Lewis.
Yeah, I'm out on this.
He had a restaurant. Yeah, he used to have a restaurant in the village. Bob's like,
what the hell's going on?
Bob's
here?
Like, this is not in the
I was
show
tired
sheet.
To talk sports.
This is not
no
in the show
cared.
Sheet.
This was not in the job description.
This is not in the show sheet. And Tracy.
You don't want.
What is that there, Brick?
I hit the wrong draw. Just
hey,
move on.
The MLB All-Star.
There goes the perfect show.
The MLB All-Star game will be in the same city as the NBA All-Star game this year. And I hope they both enjoy Albuquerque.
Yeah, it's nice down there this time of year.
Yeah, I ain't mentioning the city, I'll tell you that much.
Just a kid from Akron, you know? I
didn't mention that at all. Won't be doing any of that.
Very good.
Unbelievable. We get Cooney's Corner, and we take you on over there where there is a lost art in basketball, but Bob's not talking about the Sixers.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
So Utah goes 21 for 44 last night.
Okay, that's
48%. From three-point range. Not many of them were contested. Like, they had a lot of wide-open threes last night. And part of it's because they just... And this is like a mainstay of a Utah team going back to Stockton and Malone. They set... John Stockton was once called by someone who I very well respect in the NBA, one of the best pick-setters he's ever seen. But... This Utah team sets unbelievably good picks, and it's a lot of the reason why they get these open three-pointers. I've been complaining for a couple of years easily, Jamie will tell you, John, about how the Sixers are just horrible at setting picks. I think they're better this year. Joel Embiid has gotten better this year. Ben Simmons is really good at it. But it's just like a lost start, and when you do it really well, like Utah does, it leads to them leading the NBA in three-pointers made, three-pointers taken. It's, to me, one of the biggest lost arts in the NBA. And when you do it well, it can lead to a lot of really good things.
Can you teach 20-somethings?
Yes.
You can. Because if you didn't learn it coming up, saying, like, you said that emphatically. Like, it's easy. That's something easy they could teach.
Yes, you can. It's just an ability of ball handler going off of a hip and pick setter, you know, staying in a stationary position and setting it properly.
Shoulder to shoulder.
It's not that hard. I think Joel Embiid, I think they could even use him more doing it. He does it very well this year. He's done it better this year than ever. And I think because of Doc Rivers.
Yeah, it really shouldn't be something difficult to pick up. I mean, you play CYO basketball or intramurals and pick and rolls are... I mean, it's like a foundation of basketball.
Your big brother was your CYO coach and didn't play you.
Oh, that hurts.
At any critical time. Which
is that right?
You were that bad?
Doc was my CYO coach the very first year I ever played.
So you were that bad?
And literally, he would not play me if the game was in any kind of doubt.
Wow. Well, that makes him a good coach because he made the hard decisions.
Screw you, Jamie. Go do a radio show with Doc.
That makes him a good coach. We talked about
you,
tough decision making yesterday.
Screw you.
My dad did that. You self-admittedly said you sucked.
I did suck, but the thing is, that's my brother. That's a disloyal bastard.
Man,
to be honest.
I think I was in like fifth grade, something like that, and I'm playing in an intramural game, and we needed a coach, so my dad stepped on, which he never did. And, like, we play the first quarter, and then we go to second quarter. He's like, all right, you're sitting out now. And I go, oh, no, I don't sit. Like, they don't sit me. You know, I usually play the whole game. And he just looked at me and goes, sit down.
I love that.
Like, seriously, he did. And I was like, whoa. And I'll never forget it. Like, he just made sure everybody played the same amount of minutes. And I was like, all right, I don't ever want you coaching again.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a lost art. Yeah, so my thing was, what are some lost starts in sports? Because, look, I'm telling you, And look, we saw it with Boston a couple years ago when the Sixers last year and a couple years ago when they lost in a series to them. They set great perimeter picks, and the Sixers couldn't cover it. And then the Sixers would come down. They barely would impede the defensive guys' movement with their picks because they were so bad.
Well, is that Brett Brown, or is that...
I told you, I thought they needed a fundamental coach for years. I think Doc Rivers has come in here, not only with Joel Embiid, but with the scheme as a whole, they are a lot better at fundamental things.
That was something that I think he brought up the first time he was on the station, which is they wanted to get more pick and roll sets for Joel, and boy, is it paid off. I mean, he's taking his game, this is going to shock you guys.
Absolutely,
I'm going to say a breaking news thing here, hot take, to an MVP level.
Oh.
That is a hot take.
I got one.
Put it on this. This is a hot take alert.
Put that on the poll question and see how many people have agree with you or disagree.
Two come to mind for the NBA. One is just kind of so simplistic, it's rare. The mid-range jumper.
Yeah, it's going out of the game.
It's like completely getting phased out. And the second, which I'm shocked got phased out because it can be a dominant move for a big man, a hook or a baby hook.
That's a great one.
It's almost non-existent.
That is a great one.
How did no one, in a copycat world that we are of
the greatest scorer in the league history,
how did no one ever copy having a sky hook?
It must be so difficult.
It must be that difficult.
I get. You know who maybe the second best sky hook guy was? Maybe Magic Johnson.
Matt Johnson was fantastic with it.
Probably because he learned from Kareem.
And he did learn it from Kareem.
Like, so you can learn it. You know, yeah. Bunting in baseball has always been a fundamental thing to me.
Yeah.
That like, if you just took the time to do it, but...
Pitchers hitting, it would be I think
behind the runner in baseball's one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That drives me crazy, but I think they're now taught that that's not...
It's not part of the game, but just working a count anymore. Like, some teams are so aggressive early in the count that...
That's
like,
a good one, too.
Working a count isn't even...
One I would say in basketball, though, is... Showing up to play like 82 games.
Yeah. LeBron sat last month.
That's a lost art.
Yeah, your boy LeBron sat. I couldn't believe to piggyback off that. Joel Embiid's performance last night had you on an MVP train with him.
It was so
which is
exciting.
Something that I was blown away by because you
it
were,
was amazing.
And it just shows the growth in you as a human being.
Not really, saying
I don't want to hear MVP talk because of load management, and now you're on board. You're growing.
It was an MVP performance last night.
Oh, he became the front runner.
No questions asked.
John, is there something in hockey like a lost art in hockey that maybe it used to be more prevalent before that isn't there much now
Well, today's game is played at a physical level that's a 3 or 4 compared to when it used to be an 8 or 9.
Fighting for me is I hate the fact that it's basically going by the wayside.
You hate that?
I do. There's a really good documentary called Ice Guardians that goes into defending it a little bit and basically saying that because they've tried to phase it out, that guys can just take runs at your best players and there's no accountability for it.
My watching the game the other night, so having a beer, my cousin says, I don't like Sidney Crosby. And I said, if Sidney Crosby was a Flyer, he would absolutely love him. And he goes, no, what I don't like about him is he starts-ish.
And then backs off, yeah.
And then backs off.
Isn't that what stars do?
It's what Gretzky did.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Number 16 did that here pretty good, too.
Marty McSorley, Bobby Clark.
Yeah.
Bobby Clark got into more scraps, though, than he got into more scraps, I would say, in 2 years of his career than Sidney's ever been in.
Fair enough. I mean?
But it's a different game.
Yeah.
It's also a different day and age.
Yeah.
Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Buckets on YouTube. I'm looking at the YouTube here. He says...
What do you say, Buckets?
Buckets says stealing in baseball.
It's not a bad one.
Base running as a whole is so terrible in Major League Baseball.
Like, when I was growing up in the Ricky Henderson era and all that, I feel like there was, like, 10-plus guys a year that would steal 50 bags.
And they would... Franchises wanted someone at the top of their lineup that would steal bases.
Oh, yeah. God.
You know, that was part of the game.
If a guy gets 20 or 30, I think it's like lauded.
You know, the Anaheim Braves, they have a player in Ronald Acuna who begged to bat leadoff.
So he could steal?
And also, no, he wanted to just have more at bats.
Oh.
And he literally said,
"Oh, and you're that good, yeah.
Have more at bats. Mm-hmm. Have more at bats.
Yeah.
Because you will get, over the course of a season, batting third or batting fourth. If you bat first, you pick up a certain amount more at bats, which
it's substantial.
Helps you.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean you can't, you only bat leadoff most of the time once. Like, I don't understand the obsession in baseball with where you gotta have a, you can't put a power guy, you can't put your best bat at one. Like, why not? Because you only lead off once,
right,
for the most part.
Well, usually your best bat isn't your fastest guy.
Correct.
So that's part of it.
A lot of the younger generation, though, there's a lot of guys who are as good or as fast.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like baseball. Like I said to you guys, when I rolled out the balls to run a basketball clinic years ago, and the kids pick them up, and everyone is shooting behind the three-point line, right? So baseball now, although like a Bobby Dernier, guys like that who made careers on being fast.
Lonnie Smith.
Baseball now, it isn't that. It isn't. It's hitting the ball out of the park. It's Scott Kingery trying to hit 25 home runs. It's you know, all of that stuff now is where it's going.
Trying to ruin my weekend.
Seriously, why?
Already talking about Scott Kingery. Hey, Cousins Corner tonight, 6 o'clock. That doesn't ruin anyone's weekend. Presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And just a reminder to myself that today is Thursday. And it's not the week.
I thought it was Wednesday.
He thought it was Wednesday.
That's a
that
great
was awesome.
Feeling.
That was awesome.
And I just said, you're going to ruin my weekend, and it's Thursday. And it's Thursday. Let's just say that's when you can tell it's been a long week already. Hey, there is an NFL draft coming up. And I'm going to tell you, wait a minute now. Let me get this here. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We're 7 weeks away.
Oh, hell yeah.
No, 8 weeks away. We're 8 weeks away from the NFL draft. Okay. That means Jamie Lynch is put on the clock as we start our mock draft 6.0, Jamie edition.
Let's send it to the commish, shall we?
With the first pick in the NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select.
I'm pretty certain for the next 7 weeks, this pick isn't going to change, and we can just pretty much gloss over this one.
No, but it's still fine. You have to say it.
Jacksonville would be insane if they didn't take Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, University of Clemson.
Chris Collins thinks differently.
Let's go to the commish.
With the second pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select.
Sam Darnold will get traded, and they will take the quarterback from BYU, Zach Wilson. I'm fairly convinced of it.
My daughter's analysis, super cute.
Oh, good.
So you can,
I hope
you,
Joe Douglas has that on his draft board.
Super cute.
Okay. Really?
Yes.
I mean,
cute.
He still looks pretty boyish.
Yes. Well, she's 17.
Yes. Well, so that makes sense.
For God's sake.
Yes.
She's not interested in 35-year-old men. She's not the Long Island Lolita down there in Albuquerque.
Roger Goodell, save me.
With the third pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select.
It's certainly possible they go wide receiver, but I think they would be foolish not to take Penei Sewell to protect their quarterback of the future, Tua Tagovailoa. So I think they will take the offensive tackle from the University of Oregon.
Okay.
Commish?
It certainly makes sense.
Yeah. You got to build your line.
With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select.
What? Wait. You didn't bleep that.
Oh, boy.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, you got
it's all right.
That.
It's okay.
I think it's too much for them to pass over. Hometown kid, quarterback. He's got a high ceiling if it works out. Ohio State University, Justin Fields.
Never happening.
Huh.
Never happening.
Well, maybe as we get closer to the draft, it'll change.
Maybe. You never know. You never know.
Commish.
With the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select.
This is the shocker of the top five. Tackle. Northwestern University.
Wow.
Rashawn Slater goes to protect Joe Burrow. He can play anywhere on the line. If you draft Joe Burrow number one overall and you don't protect him, you're dumb.
So we're not doing trades here, right? So I mean, because I think they'd buy that later, but it's okay.
We did one last week. Carolina trade.
Yeah, I had Carolina in there last week. And finally, the most important pick.
Okay.
With the sixth pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
Now, if I was up there as the David Akers guest picker, I would be totally nude at this point. Wide receiver, LSU, Jamar Chase.
Nice.
I will purchase that jersey.
And put it on Jamie if he's totally new, please.
Yeah, please. And make sure it's a long one.
So I'd get like the basketball tearaway, so you know, do the pants, Winnie the Pooh, and just be totally
nudes.
Nude.
Yes, that's the important word here.
Yes. I would absolutely, if anything on draft night ends with Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, party.
That is something that I would smile about for, I believe I'd smile about
to training
for a decade.
Camp.
Around naked.
Because that would be, I want someone at six that I say, you have answered a question for a decade.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so good with it.
And everyone in SEC country believes he can be Julio Jones.
Yeah, absolutely.
That he's that kind of talent.
It reminds me a lot of Odell.
I hope he's not Odell.
Hopefully without some baggage.
Because Julio, you have no drama except he refuses to practice.
You don't hear anything from
him. Except he refuses to practice.
Where's he play?
He plays for some team in the South.
Oh. Albuquerque Falcons.
Albuquerque Falcons, okay. I believe.
Yeah.
He plays for them. I mean, if you pencil him in for Ja'Marr Chase, oh my gosh.
It would be so exciting. He would be their best wide receiver draft pick of my life.
Oh, no question.
I'm trying to think if anybody's even close.
Well, Deshaun.
Mike Quick, no. No.
He's way more talented than Deshaun.
Deshaun
had a great career. He did. And for a second round pick, it's great.
No.
But if you're talking blue chip prospect.
Oh, my gosh.
It's not even close.
Oh, my gosh.
He becomes their best offensive player right off the bat.
He's in the minute he's drafted, he's your best offensive player.
And you talk about anointing guys.
It's not anointing.
You are anointing him.
No, it's not anointing
him. He can't miss.
He is can't miss. When you watch college football, he's can't miss.
Can't miss is anointing him.
No, it isn't anointing. His talent is that exceptional. He's better than anyone you have in your roster. There's nobody to anoint somebody over Ja'Marr Chase. On the Eagles' offensive talent, which we just did, tell me somebody more talented on the offensive side of the ball.
Tell me how many snaps he's played in the NFL.
No.
You tell me how many snaps he's played.
Who is more talented?
You tell me.
That's what you just mocked us on. Who is?
I'm
more
not mocking
talented?
You.
Yes, you are.
I'm making the parallel that you rip Carter Hart for being anointed, and you're putting this guy in camp.
We said he is the most talented offensive player when he's drafted. Who on the Eagles offense is more talented? And don't tell me fumbles.
What you guys said was he would be the best Eagles wide receiver draft pick in the history of since Mike Quick. He hasn't played it down is my point.
Pat, it's the draft pick.
We've seen busts.
Pat, we're not saying he's going to Canton. It's the best Eagles draft pick. The talent that they've ever selected at wide receiver.
But how do you make that proclamation before he's played it down?
Because we've actually watched college football.
He hasn't played it down.
Pat, you're not listening.
I don't think you're listening.
No. Pat, just zip for a second.
I don't think anybody's listening.
Listen.
It's pretty awkward.
We're not talking about what his career's going to be. We're talking about he's the most talented wide receiver the Eagles would have ever drafted. He's the best talent coming out of college that the Eagles would ever have drafted at the wide receiver position. There's no argument on this. This isn't an argument.
Okay, that's not what it sounded like is all.
No, and Bob said, would he be the most talented player on offense for the Eagles?
Yes, I believe he would be. The minute he's drafted,
there's nobody on the Eagles offense. The only one you could ever say is Miles Sanders.
Yeah, he's the only guy that's close.
And, you know, and you'd give him a trophy for it and it'd probably be dropped. he might drop it.
Just go look at his calves. Just go look at his calves.
That's telltale.
The kid is whether he becomes a Canton guy, who knows?
Yeah, but talent-wise, in terms of a blue chip prospect, it doesn't get much better than
him. Oh my gosh, physically,
I just pray he falls to six.
It's unbelievable,
Miami. You really got to build those trenches.
Yeah, once again, it doesn't mean he's going to be a. It just means the talent you're drafting at that position.
I fear Miami.
Is there anybody else?
Gobble him up
if he does. If he's not there. All right, and the Kyle Eagles Pitts. Are set on trying to get a playmaker offensively. Has Devontae Smith fallen that far?
Devontae Smith is not going to hold up.
He's
not going to hold up the
speed. Well, I mean, there's a lot of slight, really fast receivers in this league now.
No, I don't think he's fallen that much.
I'm really asking questions. I'm just asking
questions.
He'll
be a top 12
pick. Who's the Indianapolis legendary wide receiver?
Marvin Harrison. Yes.
He's the only guy that I could compare to Devontae Smith.
Body wise, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe Deshaun, but they're different styles of players. That ever became a pencil him in for 10, 11 years.
at a high level.
Guys of his size that succeed are outliers.
Correct.
So it's just it just becomes a little more risky. His hands are amazing.
Right.
Yeah. Like, no, I'm honestly just wondering, like, is the NFL now better equipped that a guy that slight, can like a Tyreek Hill, whatever, can those guys last long? Yeah.
Remember, he's
like 5'10", 185.
I don't think anyone's calling Tyreek slight.
Yeah, right? That's a good point.
You're going to knock him off the ball.
I'd rather have Kyle Pitts than Devontae Smith.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'm becoming a Kyle Pitts big fan, yeah.
But I'd also trade. I wouldn't buy Kyle Pitts at 6.
Yeah, you could trade back to 8 or 9.
I wouldn't buy him at 6.
How the quarterback market shakes out increases potentially the value of number 6 pick tenfold.
So the first half is over. And the boys, we had a homework assignment. We'll get to it next. Stick around. Second half of the John Kincaid Show comes your way next here on 97.5, The Fanatic. A lot of people want to chill out, relax after work. A lot of people love to just binge watch on Netflix. Well, if they're T-Mobile customers and they have the Magenta 55 Plus plan, it includes Netflix. You get two lines, you get unlimited data, and it's $70 a month. Two lines, unlimited data, Netflix included, $70 a month. And that's not $70 with fees put on top of it. So if you're 55 and up, I want you to visit T-Mobile.com/55 or call 1-800-T-Mobile today. Think of all the things that you need the connectivity to have your T-Mobile device with you. And then think that you can at any time be able to just chill out with a little Netflix. Sounds like a good deal to me. I know being a T-Mobile customer as long as I have, it is absolutely fantastic. Check the website for more details. You will absolutely love being a T-Mobile customer with auto pay, sales tax, and regulatory fees included in the rate plan price. Check it on out. Tell them John Kincaid sent you to T-Mobile.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So good morning. My wife in Alameda says that I look really good on the TV today in red.
She likes that new hoodie.
Yeah.
She said you look really good in red, honey.
Those are Jumpman hoodies.
Do you need like a couple minutes? We can hold the fort down.
4 weeks. I need 4 weeks to go fast. That's what we need.
The mirrors are looking too good these days, John.
That's what we really, really need. Hey, yeah, the 8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show.
It's a quick flight to Albany. Yeah,
to Albany. It's Albania. Very fine. Yeah. Yes,
Albania.
Our 8 o'clock sponsor is our friends at Martin Law. They are the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Yes, the wife and daughter's finals week back home for the second trimester, and then they are heading to Disney World this weekend.
Nice.
Which has me a little. Well,
sure.
The family going to Disney
World.
You'd
rather be there.
Daddy not being at Disney World with him is a little bit much, but we're going to have some fun today. We have lots of fun.
Well, if you go over Jamie's house, you'll see Winnie the Pooh. So
no, I don't want to see that. That is scary.
She's big into Winnie the Pooh these days. Not
yeah, but
my
you can't
Winnie
do that. You can't do Winnie the Pooh when you've got a daughter running around.
She's in the crib, so she's not getting out unless we come and get her.
You don't ever get her without putting on.
No.
You're wearing long shirts, though, you say.
But I'll throw on the boxers before I go
I hope
her.
So.
Yeah.
I hope so, please.
You got long balls, Larry. Long balls.
You're not a real creep.
We don't want
I'm not a total wacko.
Don't be that creepy. Don't
I feel
be that
really creepy. Awkward right
do
now.
Do you have neighbors who go to the mailbox like in their bathrooms?
Skivvies?
Not that. I mean, in lounge pants, yes. My neighborhood's very active because I live in this little community now of townhomes, that there is constantly people doing the exercise walking.
Okay.
Constantly.
So they're walking. They're out there walking.
Yeah. So I can't go out and like no shirt on and grab the paper in the morning or whatever.
Bob going out no shirt to get the paper.
Can't do it. There's too many people around.
The ladies out on their power walks would be like, that Donna's a lucky woman.
Yeah.
She's a lucky, lucky woman.
That's just how it is.
That's the way it works. All right.
It's the cross I bear.
As we get started here in the 8 o'clock hour, now that we've seen the first half of the 76ers season, I'd like to know where you stand. So I'm going to ask all the guys here, and you're going to be free to join us on the phones at 610-632-0975. A half season should give you a great idea of where you think the 76ers are heading. So right now, I want everyone in the audience, anybody who wants to jump in on social media, on YouTube, on the phone lines. As of today, you tell me who are the teams that are better than the 76ers. You cannot consider any potential trades. It's the roster that at 8 o'clock Eastern time today, every team in the NBA has, as constituted. How many NBA teams do you believe are better than the Sixers today if they had to face them in a 7-game series? I got to tell you, I think my list may be longer than you expect. That's where we'll begin the 8 o'clock hour, 610-632-0975. If you'd like to share some of your thoughts here on the John Kincaid Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. So, Bob Cooney, the list. Who's better than the Sixers today?
I only have one team in the East.
No, I'm saying all NBA.
Right.
Okay.
I only have one team from the East. And I think it's 7-game series that would beat them is the Nets.
Okay.
When I go out west, I've got the team that they beat last night, Utah. That took a Herculean effort to beat them at home when Utah was playing their fourth game on the road, end of a road trip and right before an All-Star game. So that was an impressive performance by Utah. I got to go Clippers. I got to go Lakers. I'm not going to go Phoenix or Portland, so my list is going to end there, John. 3 West and 1 East, so total of 4.
Jamie?
I'm very similar to Bob. Only one team in the East, and that's Brooklyn. I think you can handle a Milwaukee this year. I think it's a 3-team race in the East. So I think it's just Brooklyn I would put ahead of them because of, you know, 3 superstars. Out West is an interesting one. I do think the Jazz would give them fits in a series. I'll have them, because of what they've done this year, slightly ahead. I also have the Clippers there. The Lakers, I unfortunately need to see what Anthony Davis does. I mean, it's an Achilles calf, and if he's done...
Well, we're not speculating on that.
I'm assuming he's healthy?
He's supposed to come back.
Then I have to have the NBA champions in there, and that's it. That's as far as I'll go.
So you have 4, the same 4 as Bob?
Yeah, I can't put Phoenix there yet, and I can't put Portland there either, so yeah.
Egan, do you go same 4, shorter, longer?
Well, I'll be Patty positivity here. I only have 2 teams, and that's Brooklyn and the Lakers. Close teams are Utah, Phoenix, and Milwaukee, but other than that...
Wow. Yours is too short. I actually thought that my list was too long. And it's the exact same list you 2 had.
Oh, is that right? So you have 4 also.
Utah, Lakers, Clippers... Brooklyn.
Yeah, and the Lakers could drop off.
And I thought it was too long.
Really?
Yeah, I thought all of you would come up shorter than me.
Well Pat, that, I knew you would, Pat. Somebody had to take it.
Wow. I wasn't even going to go there.
But I mean, I thought you guys were going to come with 3 team lists.
So yeah.
And I thought somebody would come with 2. And I thought if it was 2, I had it down. If I thought somebody went with 2, it was going to be Pat.
And the Clippers, I could make the case that the Sixers are right there, if not better.
Do you think the Clippers are playing the regular season, though, very...
Yeah.
Laissez-faire?
A little bit. Yeah. Kawhi knows what it takes. Yes.
I mean, he knows, and...
He knows he's got to be ready for the playoffs, and they
probably
do.
Because they don't even seem like they're... Some nights, like...
And they still have, what, 24 wins?
Exactly. They do, exactly.
Yeah, they're neck and neck. It's close with the Clippers and the Sixers.
I thought having 4 was going to be longer.
But I'm telling you, if the Lakers lose AD, they drop off that list.
Oh, well, they're off the list.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's concerning. A calf and an Achilles.
That's really bad.
That's really concerning for him.
It's what Kevin Durant had right before he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
And he tried to play
You can't rush him back.
No.
Okay, wait. I didn't know that part of it.
Yes.
So he had the calf. I thought he had the calf.
Because remember people were saying, oh, he pulled it. Like, remember he was hopping? And right. They're like, oh, he must have re-aggravated the calf.
And then all of a sudden, boom, his Achilles went.
Does calf injury
They're tied together,
injuries?
Yeah.
I would assume, yeah, I guess. And it could be a fact of, look, when you have one injury, we've heard it 1,000 times how you try to overcompensate and you wind up getting another. If you're having a calf issue, I don't know, maybe that is how you put a strain on your Achilles. So if AD is gone, Lakers are out, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's how Shaq blew out his Achilles. He was talking about, I saw an interview with him somewhere where he was talking about he just kept trying to fight through a calf injury, and blew out his Achilles, and that's how it happens.
See, I always looked at that injury with him, and that is interesting because I was like, Shaq had different levels in his career of fitness.
Oh, there's little doubt about that.
And I think he screwed himself. I think he's when that injury happened, I think he wasn't at his peak.
Pounds.
I don't think he was at his peak.
Yeah.
For the load that he worked and the load that he carried.
Sure.
I think that
I just put on my doctor's coat and pulled up some images of the Achilles tendon. It does go almost to your direct calf muscle, right below.
Dave says it here. Your calf muscles are attached to the heel.
Yeah.
By the Achilles tendon.
Yeah. So it's pretty obvious why a calf could be mistaken with an Achilles.
Okay, and so if Dave is listening there, and he is on YouTube, for those on YouTube and Twitch, say hello to Mike. Everybody just like say hello to Mike. He's your maestro that brings it to you every single day. When I get done, I ran yesterday, and I got done running.
Are you a jogger or a runner?
I did, in an hour, I did 5.23.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
In an hour.
That's mm-hmm. pretty good.
I don't think that's that fast, though.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad. I mean, it's not slow. I do a jog, and I
what's
do
the
a
jog?
Jog. So mostly I walk because of my back, but then at times I'll just, like when I feel good, I'll just start
like
jogging.
Like interval. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But just jogging is four, though.
But what?
4 miles an hour is jogging, isn't it?
I always thought jogging was four.
I hate running, so I have no idea.
I did five yesterday, and I was shocked because I don't usually do five. I usually do 4.95 to 5.05, something like that, like in that little
range. Uh-huh.
But yesterday it was a little more interval going on. So then I sit down afterwards.
And how did your Achilles feel?
When I got done, I felt great. I go back to the apartment. I'm doing some show prep. I'm drinking water. And then when I went to get up to go to the bathroom, my feet were like either down, legs crossed, or up on the table mm-hmm. or something. I went up to get the table to go to the bathroom, and I felt like almost like unstable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But then it goes away. It goes away pretty fast. But it felt almost like unstable, like stiff. Huh. Like that feel like where you're like, oh, my God. What happened there?
Yeah.
I don't stretch enough, though. I'm an idiot. If I do have something like that happen, it's going to be my fault because I don't stretch enough.
Yeah, I was never...
Are you a stretcher?
I wasn't.
You're nimble, though.
Until I had the back problems, I really wasn't a stretcher. I would just go out and, you know, play 2-3 games a day nothing of it. But the Achilles scares me. Like, Anthony had it. There's times I'll be reaching for stuff in the kitchen, and it'll cross my mind, like... Because it happens to people. They'll go on their toes and all
snaps
of a sudden
like
it just snaps.
Like
yeah, Anthony said his snapped and it rolls up the back of your calf.
I've
so
seen it.
So you
I've
can actually
seen it.
See the tendon.
Oh, I've seen it, yeah.
Bulge
stop.
In the back of the calf.
I had a buddy do it on a cruise ship.
Do what?
Playing hoops.
Oh, no. Oh, that's got to be
on
awful.
That's brutal.
Tore it. Spinelli.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there you go. So that's good. JD says John ran 5 miles, then complained that Uber didn't pick him up to go back home. Hey, JD, that's a great line. By the way, you're a great line. That is a great line. No, I'm an air-conditioned comfort. I do not run often on the streets.
Oh, you're a treadmill guy.
I do not run on the streets often.
For some reason, when you said that, I assumed streets.
No. Because first off, when it's like 40... I feel it in the. Do you feel it in your lungs?
Yeah,
I feel too much of a burn in the lungs. No, not running outside.
Mm.
50 to like 65.
You
There's
can do
like
what I do
spot.
And just never run.
You know, you can run Vegas.
When it's cool. Yeah, I messed up myself when I
did you.
One of the times I went to Vegas, first day I went out and did like 7 miles. I was like, you know how when you get off a plane and stuff, and you're just like, I did like 7 miles, and it was it was like 110, but it's the dry heat for people that haven't been there, so you don't really feel it all that. And I was like, oh, I feel really good,
and then boom.
I had to call the 76ers trainer. I literally did. He had to give me stuff to put into my
rectum.
No, to put into my drink so that
covering your rectum.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Hey, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? Check out Wawa. They got the answer.
He set me up.
No matter what you're craving.
No, I didn't.
No matter what you're craving, every day starting at 4 p.m., Wawa has your dinner.
Sounds good.
Rectum. Wawa. Damn near killed him.
That's pretty good. Rectum.
What the hell? Like, seriously.
Yeah, the dehydration in Vegas is something that people always run into. And they don't realize. You have to be pounding water.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what, too? Pound water with every drink.
That's what I do now as an adult. Yeah. I tweaked my hangover.
Well, though, when you ask the waitresses to bring you your cocktails... So when they bring you the cocktail, ask for a bottle of water with it. One of the little bottles of water with it, you'll be fine.
Well, it was funny because that's what I was doing. I felt myself cramping up really bad, so I was pounding water. And it was still happening. So when I called the trainer, he said, no, stop with the water. He said, you're actually dehydrating. Because I was so dehydrated.
I needed
electrolytes. So I got a case of
Gatorade,
and then he gave me some supplements to put in it every time I drink.
Is the burn in the lungs, by the way, because Mike's putting up there, is that the burn in the lungs? Is that something that should concern me or not? Should concern you that you get the burn in the lungs?
You said you get it in cold weather.
I can run inside fine.
Well, you're from that hot town of Albuquerque, used to the warmer weather,
I can't run outside. When you're sweating, nasty sweat, like I'll tell you, in Austin, it gets very hot where I used to live.
Yeah.
It gets very hot. Hey, in the linchpin, why did this not happen last night?
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I think the NBA missed a pretty big game, the nationally televised last night. And look, before somebody tweets me like, you idiot, they didn't have Fletch.
They had wrestling last night. They had Shaq wrestling.
Yeah, I worked in network television, so I kind of understand the way of the world a little bit, but I didn't even think of this last night. I got a text from a buddy in Manhattan and a buddy in Boston, and they both said, what the hell is wrong with the NBA? Why is this game not nationally televised? And I went, that is kind of weird. The two number one seeds in the West and the East right before the All-Star break, and NBA fans can't watch it?
It was bad choice last night.
Yeah, Anthony and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact, shocked.
How can you not flex, do something?
What did ESPN have last night?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think they had NBA last night.
I went to bed to the Warriors Blazers, was it?
I think that was ESPN. So I can't believe that game wouldn't have been on.
It seems like they really dropped the ball on that one. Because my buddies are Celtics and Knicks fans, they're NBA fans.
I'll only tell you this now. You were the television executive type.
from executive.
I can tell you that Utah is terrible on a national.
I guess that's what it is.
They do a terrible national number usually. Now, I don't know about this year, but Utah was one of those teams where, because I was thinking about that with Donovan, complaining about the NBA doesn't want to see them in, because Utah is a terrible draw on the national stage.
Yeah.
But I don't know about this year.
Yeah, it almost feels like, and I think it changed with the Sixers for the second half of the season. They had the options to make more nationally televised games because they were making the schedule based on the first half. It does kind of feel like the Sixers and Jazz aren't respected as one seeds. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think the Sixers are being respected as a one seed.
No, it doesn't seem that way.
And I think they're being looked upon as...
It's Brooklyn's
just
conference.
Till the Nets,
yeah,
wait
exactly.
Till the Nets ascend.
And the Jazz kind of feel like they're not getting the respect out West either.
Yeah, obviously they're not getting respected at all, according to Donovan.
Well, Rudy Gobert says it's because of their small city.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the NBA, I could be wrong. John, you would know from a national viewpoint better. But is Joel Embiid kind of must-watch TV around the country?
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah.
Right?
What did I say this morning, though, to you guys? If Joel Embiid played for the Knicks... If Joel Embiid played for anybody that was a competition, if he was a Celtic, this city would hate him with the strength of 1,000 suns.
Oh, sure. Oh, so somebody just sent me a DM. They said the Houston Nets...
was on ESPN last night?
Was on ESPN.
Wow, okay.
Maybe because Harden and Houston, it was the first...
Yeah, he returned to Houston.
But who the hell wants to watch Houston when you can watch Utah and Philly?
And
they should have opted out of that if they had the option.
I would have thought so.
Natural Lawn of America is safer for your lawn, kids, and pets. Schedule their full-service program, and you're going to get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Yeah, she's got a bunch of tweets.
I was absolutely disgusted to hear Houston's kind of announces last night they're going to retire his jersey.
Like, who the hell cares? Like, why is that? I'm a huge NBA fan. James Harden playing his former team does very little for him.
They're going to retire his jersey.
Oh, yeah, they gave him the whole tribute last night.
So the guy purposely got fat, lazy, and literally forced the organization to deal an asset. And they're rushing now. Now, if you told me 3 years from now they decided to honor James Harden by retiring his jersey, he's still playing. And he just bogarted your whole franchise. He made you look like idiots.
It is one of my, and it's not huge, but it's one of my pet peeves in all of sports. Why do we have to label guys 3 years in the league? Oh, we know he's a future Hall of Famer. Why do we have to retire jerseys of guys
that
are still playing? Why is talk of Hall of Fame, all of that MVP, like, why can't we live in the present?
Why in the world, Pat, I mean, the guy's playing and he just punked your organization.
It's absurd.
And they're putting him in.
It's ridiculous. You wait until he's retired.
Yeah.
It's a clown show.
What are they doing, though?
They're trying to sell tickets.
For one game?
Yeah.
Really?
Houston's lost 13 in a row.
I mean, you should have seen, yeah, during the process era, you should have seen what the Sixers were doing just to try to hype up one game.
Because
they knew that this is our one opportunity to really get a sellout.
I had a buddy who did, I'm probably going to not get the number right. He attended, I believe, he'll be listening, 27 Sixers games, one of the process years, and he used StubHub, and he spent less than $100.
That's pretty less, good. That's amazing.
And he kept track of it, and he kept posting it on Facebook going, 9 games in, I've spent $24 to go to Sixers games.
I miss that.
And he was showing people that he's a Sixers head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, and he does not have a job that allows him to
spend a lot of money.
Money.
Sure.
And he goes, this is my dream because I love NBA basketball and I love my Sixers. And I'm going to say he went to 27 games for less than $100. And he literally said, how many could I go to for less than $100.
There was a guy, and it actually changed StubHub's policy because you used to be able to sell tickets on StubHub for a penny. And there was a guy during the process area. Yeah, you would go as low as you could.
Well, then maybe this is what he did.
There was a guy who bought an entire row for $5 because you had to pay for, quote, the shipping and the fee. But it was ridiculous, and it made a mockery of StubHub, but also the franchise.
So
and
they
changed their thing. Well, now the Sixers sell individual tickets.
No, like, well, they now they're good.
But they also, if you go to the website and you try to buy an individual game, it'll send you to StubHub because they're partners.
Okay, can you ask me, what if I have a ticket, what's the lowest I could sell it for or buy it for?
Oh, right now it's, I think, $6.
So they set a policy?
They changed the policy completely.
Hmm.
That doesn't sound fair, but I guess if the team is in association with StubHub,
yeah,
and they're partners.
Business partners. Yeah.
There's a business partnership to it. And I certainly like some of the business decisions that are being made, like my new.
It's a nice hoodie, isn't
my
it?
My new hoodie. This is a really nice. I do not wear hoodies. This is really nice.
That's nice.
Well, if you want to give it to me after you wear it once and you don't like it.
This is really, really nice. Bob, you'd be swimming in it. By the way,
no,
I'm swimming in it.
I don't know. Look, every shirt that I wear is an extra large. I don't know. Like, yes, the Sixers sent me a nice package. None of the stuff fits, so my son got it all.
It's good to be Tommy right now.
Yeah.
The amount of whining on this show from getting free stuff.
I'm not whining at all.
It sounds like there's a lot of.
Sounds like you're whining a little bit.
All right, well, we have a chance for people to win free stuff right now.
I like free stuff.
Yeah, well, guess what? We're going to, it's Thursday. So Thursdays at 8:30 means it's game time.
Oh, right. We have no idea what this one is.
We have no idea what this game is.
Oh, you don't?
No idea. No, none of us. Do you have any idea? Have you been cheating?
Sorry.
I have no idea at all. There's a contest coming up. It's game time on Thursday, 8:30. You mark your calendars to be here for it. It's your chance to win a brand new tasty item from the Fanatic, a property of 97.5 The Fanatic t-shirt.
Actually, Miss Rhonda was wearing one yesterday.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
A gorgeous item.
I have not seen them yet.
We were supposed to get one yesterday, but
I have not seen them yet.
Things move slowly sometimes.
I have not seen them yet. And by the way, just a big shout out to the big boss, Joe Bell, who sent me a note saying that, yes, he's a huge fan of Fall Out Boy's first album, Grand Theft Autumn.
Really? Way to go, Joe Bell.
I have no Fall Out Boy knowledge.
Remember, Joe Bell's been in
Music Man.
Oh, God, yeah.
So he knows it all. So don't underestimate Joe Bell.
Does he know Pooh Shiesty, though?
Oh, I think him and Shiesty.
Oh, you're going to question your boss?
I think him and Shiesty.
I just want to know if him and Shiesty are boys.
I just wonder if he knows good radio talent here. I just can't, boys. Let's hope he does. It's the John Kincaid Show. Game time coming your way next. Line up on the phone lines. 610-632-0975. JK Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. If you are 55 and older, have I got a great deal for you? How about if you just want to become a customer of a great company? T-Mobile is absolutely amazing. And right now, T-Mobile has a new plan. It's called Magenta 55 Plus, and it includes Netflix. But what else does it include? Two lines, unlimited data, and how about this? You get Netflix included for free, $70 a month. And I'm not talking about $70 then followed by $70 being you then pay fees above that. It's a flat rate. It is absolutely love it. You're going to enjoy it. You've got to make sure that you get in with T-Mobile right now. Fantastic company, fantastic coverage. And what can I tell you about this? Netflix, two lines, unlimited data, $70 a month. It's a great, great deal. Check out T-Mobile.com today and tell them that John Kincaid was the one that sent you for The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, the coach Eric Camille in high-level meetings this morning. We got Connor, we got Mike. Mike getting those YouTube numbers going up, rising through the roof. People are really enjoying the YouTube crew. You can thank Mike for that.
Does a great job.
We appreciate it. By the way, someone's saying, I guess I can wear it on. Here, they're asking. It's the Jumpman logo, and it's the
Filla.
Yeah. The Filla thing. Gentleman says, here he goes, oh, I was betting it was a Braves hoodie. I said, dude, I worked in a city like Albuquerque for 25 years, and I never was sporting other teams' gear. You know what teams I sported?
That's right.
The Phillies.
Always.
The Eagles. The Flyers. Not the Flyers, though, because I hated the Flyers at the time. But I've buried the hatchet.
Good to have you back.
I buried the hatchet with them. All right, let's get ready to play a game, Pat. And by the way, the phone lines are open for you to join in if you want to play a game and you want to win something.
Just want to know what this game is.
610-632-0975. We're in the complete dark about this, so let's go to Mr. Pat Egan.
Which names did Kincaid drop last month? Let's find out as we start the name dropper. Let's begin.
Wow. Oh, I love this. Oh, we need players, though. 610-632-0975.
There's probably 3,500 names.
This could be extensive.
We have time for this?
Yeah, this is a pretty simple list.
I love this.
A pretty simple competition, I should say. So I'm going to give the caller a name. They simply have to tell me if Kincaid dropped it in February or not. February's the key.
So it's okay? February.
Yeah, so if you win, you end up getting a new Fanatic t-shirt. But that's that. I'm going to give you a name.
You know what I will say, though, is the fact that somebody would keep track of this, D-bags. Is all I will say.
Not the first time I've been called that.
Well, John, sure. It wasn't me and Bob.
There we go.
Not the first time I've been called that.
You can speak for yourself. You don't know if I had anything to miss.
There we go.
Well, I don't know General Hospital stars when they get
people
named.
People want to play. Name dropper with you. And what do they win, Pat?
They win a new Fanatic t-shirt.
Wow, that's a good
deal. They are really cool t-shirts. I think we're going to get one today. Yeah,
you think we are?
Chuck gave me the nod. We're going to get one today. Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Nice to see.
Yes.
Good to see Chuck in the studio. There. Let's go to Tim in San Diego's up early with us. Hi, Tim.
Hey, love your show, guys. Thanks for iHeartRadio. Let me listen to some real sports talk.
Thank you, man.
Nice. Thanks, Tim.
Tim, you want to play along? Pat Egan's your boss.
Let's do it.
Tim, did John Kincaid drop the name Brian Finneran in February?
Oh, God. Yes.
That name was dropped.
Yeah, good job, Tim.
Brian Finneran, fine NFL veteran.
Villanova's own.
Rock that shirt in Pacific Beach, Tim.
Gotta love it. And Tim in San Diego. And by the way, Tim in San Diego.
I love San Diego.
Brian Finneran from the OC.
Is he from there?
Yeah, he's from the OC.
He got recruited to Nova from out there?
Yes.
No kidding.
Him and his identical twin brother.
He's got an identical twin?
Identical twin.
No kidding. Did he play football also?
They look alike. At Villanova. They played together.
And Brian was the
brother. Brian was the good one.
Yeah.
Brad
was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Brad's much smarter, though.
Brian and B. West overlapped, right?
Yeah. B. West was
a freshman when Brian was...
2 years after Brian, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
I think maybe. But
that's good recruiting right there. Recruit.
Yeah, it is. That's Wayne in South Jersey joins us on the Fanatic. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, guys.
What are you up to, buddy? Okay, let's go for it.
Wayne, did John Kincaid drop the name Joe Montana in the month of February?
No.
I know
that name was not
nice, Wayne.
Wayne, I love it, man. I know
that's a loyal listener right there, Wayne.
Because I know, Wayne, I know the name. But I can't think of who he is.
He was he's searching for Bobby Fischer. He was the father.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an actor.
Hey, you go, Wayne, we're putting you on hold. You're going to get one of those Fanatic t-shirts that I haven't even gotten yet.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
How about that? So Wayne and Tim have a shirt that I don't have. And I work here. This is pretty good.
You have a hoodie that I don't have.
This is pretty good.
You have a salary that I don't have.
I love this. I don't have a seller.
I said you have a salary that I don't have.
There you go. Let's go to Fredo. In Marlton's on the Fanatic. Fredo, my friend, how are you?
Good morning, fellas.
Pat Egan, take it away.
All right, Fredo. Did John Kincaid drop the name Dame Lillard in the month of February?
I'm going to say no.
That name was dropped.
Hey, Fredo, you must have missed the riveting story.
Well, we have it.
Let's have it.
Yeah, let's take a listen.
We got to dig up Dame and I from the Shaq cast. We had beef.
Not only did they keep the list, they kept the audio.
Fredo, next time you can become a winner. But much like in the Godfather series, you have been killed off.
I got to tell you, I didn't even remember you dropping Dame.
Dame Lillard,
I didn't remember
he was
either.
On Shaq cast with us because I called out Dame for he was mocking Shaq in his
rap.
In the rap battle. So I said to Dame, shouldn't you have accomplished the things that Shaq has accomplished in basketball before you start invoking his name? And I'm serious about that. Like, you know,
you've dropped his name in March.
So the point of this game was not so you could drop the name again in the next month.
No, he asked the story. Yeah, uh-huh. He didn't even know. Hey, by the way, 610-632-0975. Earl in Washington Township. You're on the Fanatic. It's game time Thursday. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
What a fine! You sound like a very kind man, Earl. I hope you win.
He's from my old hometown.
I'm a white guy, so and I've seen Bob around Washington Township.
There you go.
Okay, is he a big tipper?
He's a very nice man.
Oh, thank you, Earl.
That's the question.
Hey, Bob, Angelo's Pizza.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Earl.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Oh,
awesome.
Good.
Earl, did John Kincaid drop the name Carly Wilson in the month of February? Carly Wilson.
I'm going to see Nate coming. Throwing a dart, I'm going to say yes.
That name was not dropped.
I'm sorry. Earl, you sounded like such a cool dude, too, man.
I am.
Next time, you might be a winner.
It was so obscure, I was going to tell him yes, but I didn't remember.
I do
remember.
Not know who Carly Wilson
is. Who the hell's Carly Wilson?
No, I knew that you hadn't dropped
Wilson
Carly
Phillips,
Wilson.
Guys.
Yeah. The bigger girl.
Oh.
Who?
The big she's girl the bigger from girl? Wilson Phillips.
Brian isn't Wilson's she? Daughter. Yeah.
She's the bigger one, though?
From what? The,
from Wilson Phillips.
Phillips, the singing group. Come on, man. Lil Wilson Phillips.
Someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
Till then, baby.
Oh, really? Right. You really do want to sing.
Yeah, no, that's... Okay, no, I want to continue this contest is what I want to do. Let's get
Kevin,
the next one.
Kevin joins us on the Fanatic. Kevin, welcome to Name Dropper on the Fanatic.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
What's up, Kev? How are you, buddy? All right, let's go.
I was the one that just DM'd you about them Sixers tickets.
See, Kevin, you're awesome.
Oh, good man, Kevin.
You bought like a bunch of tickets for like $7.
That's awesome. Ridiculous. I probably went to like 30 of them games, too. I was on your buddy's team wavelength.
So you did the same thing. There you go. All right, Pat, let's make Kevin a winner.
Kev, did John Kincaid drop the name Kyle Shanahan in the month of February?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that was a layup.
That name was dropped.
Does he like you, John?
That was an easy one.
Yeah. Well, he hates
me. We have the audio. Let's take a listen.
Kyle Shanahan hates me.
I'll put you on hold, Kevin. Congratulations. Kyle Shanahan does hate me. He lost the playbook. He lost his bag with the game plan in it the week of the Super Bowl.
That's pretty bad.
What a moron. Mike in Philly. Mike. You're on the Fanatic.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, play name dropper with us. All right, Pat.
Mike, did John Kincaid drop the name Shaq and Charles in the same drop? Shaq and Charles in the same drop.
Absolutely.
That name was dropped.
Yeah.
Well, I FaceTimed with them.
That might be the leader of the pack.
Let's hear it.
Let's take a listen.
So, right before the show, name dropper, you can use it. I FaceTimed with Shaq and Charles. And guess what? Mike, we appreciate your loyalty, even though you're mocking me.
I love you. Yeah,
keep it up, Mike.
I love you, Mike. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Look, if you, it was explaining how we got the two shout-outs.
I love how he justifies it.
All right, last one. Mike in North Carolina. Mike, welcome into Name Dropper, buddy. Buddy. How are you, buddy? All right, you're doing great, man. Here we go.
All right, Mike, did John Kincaid drop the name Milton Berle in the month of February?
Yes, I do believe he did.
That name was dropped.
Awesome. Nice.
I was Uncle wondering Milty. Whether you were tricking people.
Yeah.
That it was March. See, you were thinking about it too, Mike, right? You were going to get tricked into that.
I kind of remember the episode, but I kind of hit him down.
See, now, if it was like Friends, this would be the episode with the Milton Berle drop.
And let's take a listen.
Milton Berle had me sit next to him. Yes, he did. On a plane, on a Eastern Airlines flight.
He had you sit in, like he said, can you please sit here?
He was doing a whole like floor show coming into the plane while the plane was almost like already seated.
Did you look down right away when you knew it was him?
Oh, when I saw him, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Uncle Milty. And my dad was the first one to know. He goes, there's Uncle Milty.
And how old were you?
Probably 8.
Oh, okay. You didn't know the legend of Uncle Milty.
I had my Philadelphia Flyers shirt jacket on. And because we were flying back to Philly, and he said, what is that? He goes, what is that? I said, they're the Flyers. That's hockey. And he goes, oh, I played hooky.
Then he had
empty seats, and he said, he can come sit with me, Dad, if it's okay. And I went and sat with Uncle Milty.
Wow.
He only went to Atlanta, though. We went Eastern and then had changed, and then it was the pop.
He went where?
He went to a city in the South.
Well, guys, those are only a few of the names.
There'll be a meeting later today.
Let's take a moment of silence to recognize the names that were also dropped.
As an old month concludes and a new month begins, let's take a look back fondly at all the names that were dropped last month.
We got a break in 10 minutes, Pat.
Howie Long, Todd Graffanini, Brian Schottenheimer. Scotty Baldwin, Colin Cowherd, Matt Conte. Brad McCrimmon and Abe Lincoln. Plus these.
Like Brian Finneran, fine NFL veteran.
We got to dig up Dame and I from the Shaq cast. We have beef.
So right before the show, name dropper, you can use it. I FaceTimed with Shaq and Charles.
Kyle Shanahan hates me.
First time I ever went to dinner with Mike Keenan. Milton Berle had me sit next to him.
We pour one out for all those names that were dropped and for the ones who will be dropped soon.
Beautiful.
Okay, I'm just going to say that is the... That is the best. That is one of the best things ever created. and Pat, I need that to be able to send to a million people
in Atlanta.
What a plan!
Oh, God, sorry, Albuquerque.
What town did you say?
Akron.
Akron. Yes. Akron.
Yes, there was a lot of names that probably didn't even make that list.
Augusta.
We didn't even get to the soap stars.
Oh, Augusta. Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's only one error there. Did Bob catch it?
There was only one error?
A mispronunciation of a name?
No, he named the character instead of the real person.
You named Scotty Baldwin.
Who is the talented Kim Schreiner.
Who has played Scotty Baldwin since 19... 19-
Nerds.
All right, Kim Schreiner, added to the list for March.
Sonny Bernard, you forgot. Or Maurice Bernard.
Now you're mixing your metaphors.
I'm drunk on name drops.
That is great there. You may not always need a new water heater or new coworkers, but when you do, choose Bradford White. That is the funniest thing that I've...
Bill Strobel on Twitter says, if you had the John Kincaid name drop app, you'd know all of this. I had to delete it, though. It was just blowing up all the time.
Okay, somebody's gonna get creative with this. I love all you idiots, is all I will tell you. I love y'all. That was good work.
Coach and Pat came up big.
Okay, that was literally fantastic. And you're a bunch of bags for constantly keeping track of this.
We were totally in the dark, as you were.
No idea. Completely in the dark.
Yes. So you could.
I figured the bullseye was aimed
at not me and Jamie.
That was a fantastic job. But I will say this is now one of my best friends chiming in says, you know what now? He says, you need to keep a list of all the things that the people you work with do that annoy you.
Oh.
He said, because there's got to be a list. And
my sniffle count in the morning. I'm going to make sure.
But that's not a game. How many times? What's the over under on Jamie? Before 6 a.m.
His 5 to 6 a.m. clock is physically bad.
I got to get myself ready.
It should be brought to you by Mucinex, the 5 o'clock hour.
I do have to say though, your name dropping isn't annoying. I think it's funny.
It's frequent.
Oh, it's frequent and it's there.
Well,
but
I wouldn't say annoying.
And I do want to say Michael has chimed in on YouTube and he says, "John, my mom thinks you're hot."
Oh, nice.
Give Debbie J a shout out. Yo, Debbie J. What's up?
What's up?
What's absolutely up? This is a wedding ring.
Debbie, this is a wedding ring, though.
Just to you know.
You couldn't just say hello. It was a yo, what's up? Like, what was that?
Why was that flirting?
Why would I say yo?
I just puked.
What's up?
That's how he got his wife.
Wow. Seriously.
Yeah. This is a wedding ring, though, Debbie. Sorry to tell you. And I am a very devoted married man.
KP Hadley on Twitter says, John Kincaid drops more names than pants at the proctologist.
That's good. Yeah. I'd say so. JD says we should play the number of swamp ass referrals by Jamie that we get over the course of the month.
Summer is coming up.
Anything regarding poop, swamp ass, or anything. That was such a fun game, though.
That was good.
Okay, that was Pat. Brilliant work is all I will tell you.
I'm out until April.
That was good. And good. And I tell you.
Like Costanza, go out on a high note, man.
And I can tell you, the letter of recommendation that I'll write for you will be amazing. It will be the best one you've ever had. Hey, the law firm for injured workers, Pat's going to need them. Visit paworkinjury.com to reach our friends at Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. I'm still laughing at that. That was a really well done thing. Okay, in Cooney's Corner, he hates this rule.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Yeah, we saw it a couple times last night. And it goes against the very essence of what sports is about to me. Yeah. And I'm not being that guy, everything sucks. I'm not. But the 3-second...
Back in my day!
The defensive 3-second rule in the NBA goes against what the very essence of sports is in my mind. And that's to stop the other team from doing something so that you get a competitive advantage. Who are you to tell me how not to defend another team in order for me to try to win? Okay, it's ridiculous.
I have a tweak to the rule when you're done.
Yeah, so they implemented it. I didn't look it up. I meant to make a call or look it up last night. But it's been in the league for a good 15 or so years, I think. Defensive 3 seconds. Nobody on defense in the NBA can stand in the lane for more than 3 seconds. Why? Like what? Okay, I know you want to open up the game and you want people to be able to get where they were, but isn't that my job as a coach to stop you from getting where you want to go? Who are you to tell me where to position my players in order to stop the other team from the very goal of the game, and that is to score a basket?
But shouldn't you have to... The idea of moving in and out, though, doesn't that...
Almost like the shift in baseball. I'm not a huge fan. But who are you to tell me that I can't put my team at a competitive advantage because I see something and recognize something and I'm going to stop it?
Okay, now I absolutely am a complete believer in that baseball purists wanting the shift to be outlawed just makes me roar with laughter. Somebody finally, after 130 years of the sport, decided, wait a minute.
I can think outside the box here.
We can think differently. We can do this. Bob, you won me over then. Then I agree. If I believe that way about baseball, I have to believe that way about basketball.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Gene, real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
And to take it a step further, the reason it was implemented is because the game used to be going to the basket, strong physical play. Going to the basket. We don't want just guys colliding in the basket all the time. Okay. Well, I hated the rule then, too. If you're going to change the game the way you've changed it, where now it's not even a mid-range game, it's a three-point game mostly, why are you telling a team they're not allowed to put somebody in the paint to stop things? I just totally disagree with the rule.
Yeah, and it seems like the memo went out to the refs to start calling it more this year because I've noticed it more this year than I ever have in my life. The tweak I would make is you can't have two guys in the lane for more than 3 seconds. You can have one. But if you start collapsing a team, I might tweak that. It's kind of hard to, because then you're taking a whole ref out of the game.
You're looking at it through a Sixers eye, though.
No, not really.
I thought you were looking at it like it's not a Ben Simmons thing.
Do you not like the sort of haphazard way it's enforced, or do you not like it, Jamie?
It probably happens on most plays, so I feel like it's enforced when they want to enforce it. Like, Dwight Howard's almost always in the lane 3 seconds. And he has the right to be. He's a center. He's a rim protector. I don't like the rule in general, but I feel like they could tweak it where maybe just one guy's allowed.
I hate the rule. I absolutely hate the rule.
I would just abolish it
altogether. Bob defends I think the average fan is going to lean with Bob on this big time.
Yeah. And it's more than just like, oh, the rule is stupid. It's more than that. It bothers me to the core of sports. Like, you give me a sport and say, all right, the object is to do this on one way. Okay, my job now is to stop them. Let me see. Okay, they do that really well, so I need to take that away. Oh, no, you're not allowed to do that.
Because I love the fact that I find it the most amazing thing about baseball, the slowest to evolve sport of anything.
Yeah.
That it took them 125 years to figure out.
Think about how stupid walking a guy with four pitches is. Why not just hold up a sign?
Intentional walk.
What are we doing?
Like, there's nothing. Is it baseball just really doesn't understand?
So, okay, now people are all upset about the shift. Okay, now here's your counter.
Learn to hit the other way.
You teach your kids growing up, learn how to hit where they aren't.
Yes.
Like, sorry, that's the natural progression
sports
of
sports. Countering a counter.
Exactly.
The left wing lock. Which everybody in the NHL, fans in the NHL, hated for years because of the Devils.
Yes, stupid Devils.
It was brilliant.
I know, but...
And it was brilliant.
We couldn't beat it.
And we implemented it in high school ice hockey and nobody
That's right,
could...
you did tell me
none
you
of
did
the,
that, yeah.
None of the little morons that we coached against could do either. I was like, okay, we can do this. We can do this. I had bright assistants.
The lock in hockey, the Devil's Trap, was so boring.
But it was spectacular.
It was smart. But it was smart. But it was boring. But to
and
the
it's
shift
not,
point,
by the way, it's not different. It's difficult to implement.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. But it looking at not everyone can do it. Obviously, John Kincaid can and won championships. But
yes.
With the shift, it reminds me of Ryan Howard actually trained with Barry Bonds after the shift kind of started getting implemented and he was having trouble hitting it.
Name dropper.
And yes, that was me name dropping because I'm friends with Barry Bonds. And they set up a chair in the middle of the batting cage and they were supposed to hit the chair. Howard couldn't hit it. He was having trouble. And Barry Bonds got so frustrated, he grabbed the bat, immediately first pitch hit it. That's how good of a hitter he was.
There you go.
Best baseball player ever.
He is the best. And he's not in the Hall of Fame because it's stupid.
It's a joke.
And Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame because it's stupid. It's not a Hall of Fame. Hey, we got a lot coming up. Final hour of the show. And I'm going to tell you this. This player having the chance to be this historic, to me, is this amazing. We'll get to it. Final hour of the John Kincaid Show comes your way next here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I will have a back lawn by this time next year. I'm going to have a backyard. So I'm going to want to hire a company that provides better results, that's safer for my family and for Nikki Foles to be able to run around in her new backyard. So that's why Mikey Miss and Anthony told me, oh, John, it's Natural Lawn of America. You got to check Natural Lawn of America out. So, you want greener grass, you want fewer weeds. Natural Lawn uses an exclusive organic-based lawn care products. And it's different because every single lawn is different. They do not take a cookie-cutter approach. Every single job is a custom. And you're going to want to make sure your pets can enjoy the lawn, but you're also going to know and be confident because Natural Lawn has reduced chemical pesticide use by 85%. So it's going to be safer for the whole family, whether it's your two-legged members or your four-legged members. Here, take advantage of a limited-time special. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program, and you're going to get free seeding every year. Free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREESEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for joining the John Kincaid Show. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, our 9 o'clock hour is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to bagster.com. Do you take someone who doesn't know you, do you let them off the hook when they keep relentlessly saying something stupid where they're offering you a bet that you know 100% they will lose? Do you let someone off the hook when they're saying, I'll bet you $100 that you don't do anything like that and you never would?
So
you know for a fact that you do and someone doesn't believe you. So do I take the guy's $100?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I have.
He's going to be paying for my sneakers.
I have the ultimate story about this.
Okay.
So in college, real quick, I'll make it as brief as possible. But we were drinking a lot senior year. A little senior slide happening. So summer heading into senior year, we were all living down in Washington, D.C. And my buddy John Monahan, who's a genius, got, you know.
Name dropper.
Yeah, nobody knows. We were drinking every night. We were in peak, out of shape completely. And he goes, I can ride my bike across country. And we said, what? He goes, yeah, D.C. to San Diego. I'll do it over the course of the summer. Everybody bet if I can or can't do it. And if I make it, you guys fly out and we party in San Diego. So and this is at like 3 in the morning one night. We're all like, yeah, sure, buddy. Count me up. Yeah, you can't do it. We'll see you in San Diego. Sure enough, he committed to trying to do it.
Did he do it for charity?
No. He did it as a dumb 3 a.m. beer bet. And sure enough, he bought an expensive bike. He bought the teepee, the camping gear, all of it. And he took off down our block. We did a big send-off keg party one day, and we cheered him on. He called me 2 days later from a campground in Virginia. He had lost his sleeping bag and gave up on them. And we all had money coming to us because he had some money from a job.
Of course, you're the Lynches of Montgomery County.
No, he had the money. I was a broke college kid. So he I think we had bet $200 each. And me and my buddy Dave Madden were like, do we take his money? We're like, we're broke. $200 in college is like a millionaire. So we took his money, and I didn't feel bad about
it. You shouldn't.
He made a dumbass bet.
This gentleman. I'm going to read you word for word. This gentleman. This gentleman is an attorney.
He knows what he's doing. Take his
and
money.
He flat out says, and he goes, I've seen you on the YouTube channel. I'm a big fan of the show. Take this the right way. There ain't any way you're buying shoes in some one-off small town shoe store. I can just look at you and know that you do not do that. Dude, you don't understand. I've told him, I said, you do not understand the levels of my cheapness and my frugality that I will go
to. I don't doubt you for a second on that. I'm cheap. I'm a whore.
I will absolutely do something that saves me money. And I told him, he goes, I have $100. Says, you will not. He says, but it must be documented. He said, receipt, everything like this. And I said, so in other words, I warned him. I said, so in other words, you're just buying my shoes for me. Or maybe two pairs. And he says flat out, I won't be buying anyone's shoes. You won't do it.
Wow, really dug in.
I'm like, this is where I bought my shoes forever. I mean, my gosh.
Congrats on your free shoes.
Yeah, right?
Two pairs.
That's awesome.
Why is he
dying on that hill?
Because he doesn't believe me. He says he sees me as like, he goes, you say you go to the King of Prussia Mall. He goes, I've heard you say you go to the King of Prussia Mall. I said, I'm freaking bored, dude. I'm bored. My family's down in Akron, and I don't...
Are you going to be one of those mall jogger walkers? You ever go to a mall when it first opens?
Not jogger walkers.
But the fast walkers.
I will absolutely be doing things to say if it's too cold outside, because I have to get out and walk every day.
Go buzz around the mall.
I go walk every day. Look, I'm on Bong Boulevard every day. They all know me. I will absolutely do something like that when I'm older.
Yeah.
Oh, no question. I absolutely love it, too. I love the walk. Bob loves the walk, too.
Oh, I love it.
I like to walk, too.
I love the...
probably going out in Valley Green today.
I miss being down at spring training, because this is when I normally would be at spring training.
Good walks down there.
You know, back when I did work in Albuquerque, and spring training trip was one of my favorites, and I would walk more. I'm a walk in the morning and a walk at night.
And yeah, warm weather. When the warm weather comes, it's...
And it's not hot.
It's the gray. It's warm. Not hot.
So,
yeah.
Hey, it's shocking to me that Brandon Graham may play more games in an Eagles uniform than any other player in the franchise's history. Now, it appears they are going to renegotiate his contract to extend him by a year. So, Brandon Graham, who's been a pretty healthy guy, would need to play in 31 of the 32 regular season games over the next two seasons. I'm not expecting playoffs. To be the all-time Eagles leader, he needs 31 games. It's amazing to me how a former first-round pick that a lot of people thought at one point or another may have been a bust turns out to be someone who is so legendary. Everything that you could want in an Eagle. The new team leader now as this rebuilding commences. And honestly, I think he's made one of the two biggest plays in the history of the franchise. Biggest plays in the history of the franchise. So what was the biggest moment to you, if I asked you, of the other recent championship, which isn't that recent, the 2008 Phillies, Brandon Graham's strip sack, to me, one of the two most memorable things in the most memorable game for the Philadelphia Eagles. Can we track it to a single moment for the 2008 Phillies? And that's where we're doing. That's where we begin. The John Kincaid Show, 9 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, and the coach, Eric Camille. First off, when I said two plays, two singular plays, the other singular play that directly tied to one player.
Right.
In the Super Bowl was what player? Because everyone's going to say Philly special.
Everybody
Philly
says Philly special.
Philly special involved too many players. I don't consider that single play.
The strip sack.
The strip sack.
Zach Ertz touchdown.
The Zach Ertz touchdown.
Right.
Which to me, I will...
Great picture.
I will forever... That Zach Ertz picture of him just levitating across the line.
From like the 4-yard line.
Is something that I'm always... Well, first of all,
that's a great man cave signed item. You get that picture signed by Ertz.
Before Zach, I have one piece of signed memorabilia. It's the Cole Hamels baseball. I want that picture.
Yeah.
And I want Zach Ertz signed.
That's a great item to have in any man cave.
I think Anthony would call that a tasty.
Yeah. I look at that picture and I smile.
Oh, it's such a happy, joyous moment.
And the other there's so many great pictures from that great game, the BG one. But the aerial of Alshon's touchdown, that is also a smile on your face.
I have not seen the aerial version.
It's very cool.
To me, the single moment, though, if you're talking about that, is Ertz. What is the single... If there's a single moment of the Phillies winning the 2008 World Series...
It's easy same for thing. Me.
What is it?
Rips one into the night.
That's the first one that came to mind.
That's the National League Championship Series. That's not the World Series.
But that's when I knew.
See, I think of Chase Utley's amazing throw out at home.
Yeah, that was the other one that came to mind.
Like, that's going to be the moment. That's going to be the one, the single most thing that sticks with me. Pat, you look like you have one on the edge of your tongue.
Well, it was Matt Stairs versus one of the night because...
But
because
that's National Championship Series.
One you knew.
That if they don't win that game, it's tied 2-2. Yeah, right. That win made it 3-1, and that is... I mean, I woke up my next door's neighbors, and our houses weren't even connected. But looking at the World Series, I'd have to go with, I guess, the Jenkins double.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, too.
That's not bad, either. Michael says here it will always be for him, Brad Lidge, the strikeout to win the series.
Sure.
Who did he strike out?
Oh, I know this.
Eric Hinsky.
Yes.
Hinsky, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fat ass Hinsky.
Jerk.
Fat ass Hinsky.
Jerk.
And I'm convinced Brad Lidge started his knee damage in that pileup.
I may have run into Hinsky, back in Akron.
Was that confirmed? Sorry about the Lidge
knee. I don't know about that.
Because he went backwards, and that's
it's been talked about. Yeah. Yeah, many times. I remember Utley homering his first at bat in the World Series. Was like, whoa.
He had some onions.
Yeah. That series he had the next year against the Yankees was unbelievable.
It's so weird, though, to think of the one singular... Brandon Graham and that strip sack is going to be just... When they talk about guys never having to buy a beer.
Yeah.
Graham is going to be beloved for generations. You are going to have a son someday, Jamie.
Yeah.
You don't know this, but you have a son. And when your son is born, you will tell him about Brandon Graham. And one day he'll get to meet Brandon Graham and you're going to go.
I guess my Matt Stairs comparison is more apt to the Patrick Robinson comparison.
Like, that was a huge play.
The moment you knew something special was there. And
that swung that's that probably whole fair. Game.
The Utley,
that was the one that launched
you to the title game, because Stairs was, the CS that launched you to. And Robinson was the CS.
Yeah, if you're not doing Super Bowl, the specific game, I think the play that turned it around was the non-interception by Atlanta. Right Keanu before Neal. Halftime?
If
Neal makes that interception...
Yeah, it's a different game.
I mean, they might not have gotten out of the first round.
Thank you, Torrey Smith, for being in the right place at the right time.
And it set up a field goal. And then Foles made a really nice throw, and they get a field goal. It turned Foles all the way around.
It made it 10-9.
I believe so.
I forget what that score was. It had a weird score at halftime of that game. And then Keanu Neal goes on to
buy your house.
There you go. See? So there you go.
You guys have shared the same
one segment there,
I didn't
Pat.
Have to do it.
Yeah.
I didn't have to do it.
Do you ever think about you and Keanu sharing the same boudoir?
Oh, my God. What is wrong
with you? Not the same
bed. No, not the same bed, but the same crime scene. I think about those things.
Why?
Why would you think about that?
Well, when I moved into my new house, I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm in this room where the whoopee happened of this other couple for 18 years.
That's why I'm building a house.
Yeah, that's nice for you. You never thought about that, Seth?
No.
You're in a rental right now. God knows how many people have gotten down in that.
I know, no. They wanted to actually have 6ABC.
Yeah.
I was trying to negotiate to do one of those specials where they take the blue light over to Bob's rental bedroom.
Don't do that.
To show all the horrible things that have gone on
there.
That's
why when you buy a house, it's nice to buy from one owner for a long time.
Or to just build it.
So it's not a romper room.
Build it.
Another big moment from the 08 run was the Shane Victorino Grand Slam thanks to the Brett Myers walk.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought that was in the Milwaukee series.
It was. I'm saying the run up to the championship.
Well, that was.
I'm just trying to get off Jamie talking
about.
Could
be down right now in your old mirror.
You're trying to. What did you say you were doing?
I didn't say anything. Shut my mic off.
We'll take that. I was just trying to get off Jamie.
Come on, really? In the trust tree, you guys never thought about this stuff?
No.
No. All right. I guess I have
thought about. Guess what? I had thought about it in hotel rooms.
Yeah. Oh, it can't. Not cross your mind in a hotel room.
Because Christina does not allow you to have the comforter on the bed.
I get that.
You do too?
Yeah.
You do the same thing?
I use the comforter, but I think it's the least washed item.
She does not want the comforter
in the bedding.
The comforter is off the...
Because they're not washing that every time.
No.
Not even close.
Yeah, that's off the bed. That doesn't count.
And
that's
you
gross.
Take the blue light to that.
No.
It would be ugly, I bet. So, hey, speeding.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
Speeding puts you and your passengers and others on the road at risk. So why don't you slow down? You can save a life. Be safe, PA. More at PennDOT.gov/safety. Paid for with Pennsylvania taxpayer dollars.
Let the boy watch.
I don't have the opportunity. I've just noticed this, too. It's because of where I'm living and where I'm working. And I don't ever have the opportunity to speed. For the most part,
yeah, your commute's pretty close.
My commute is close.
And back roads.
My commute is 9 miles round trip a day.
Wow.
And 9 miles, and there's real no place to speed.
We got to do a lunch outing one day over by you.
Oh, yeah.
There's a beer place I need to get to over by you. And
guess what?
They do good lunch.
Wait a minute. The beer place when I cut through the alley that everybody is...
Yes.
Oh, they line up at this place.
Oh, it's great.
Wait a minute,
there's a lot of lines around you.
Yes,
John.
They have.
You wouldn't believe it.
They have very good food.
Okay,
so we got to have a show outing for lunch.
This is a block down from Ganja Circle,
Spliff Street. Yeah,
it's like you cut through the weed way, and you get right over to there, and people line up. It's dark.
It's one of the best in the area.
How about that?
Yeah. And they do very good lunch. So we got to do a show outing one day.
Like what? Like fancy lunch?
Like pork. You know, like good lunch.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, and I need a pickup. So let's make that happen.
Oh, that sounds really, really good.
My fridge is empty.
We'll put it on the calendar for next week.
Absolutely.
That's good. Let's head over to Cooney's Corner where Bob's fascinated.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
Not fascinated with any of the conversations we actually have on this show, just the other stuff.
Do you know who rented before you?
Like, do these thoughts just run through your mind, or do you really
I'm shocked
think
nobody
them
else.
Out?
I've thought about this all the time.
I found myself doing you yesterday.
Well, then that would be crazy. That would be crazy.
How about that? That would be a little odd. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's move on, Bob.
All right, here's my fascination. And, John, I brought this up. A long time before you came up from Albuquerque, and that's I am fascinated, and people are probably sick of hearing me say this, but there's a new wrinkle to it. I'm fascinated by the way people watch games and how differently you can do it. And
I'm very fascinated to understand what it means.
So I'll give you an example. So when I was a player, I'll just use basketball. When I was a player, I would see the game one way, right? When I became a coach, you see it another way.
Okay.
You watch it another way. When my kids were playing, you watch it another way, whether you realize it or not. When I became a reporter, I watched it another way. Although with the trained eye of what I had, you had to watch it another way. I would sit with referees at games, and they would tell. I would ask them to tell me how they're watching the game.
Not
they
the watch ones it, from my high school.
Yes. They watch. Yes, the ones from your high school.
They were probably on betting apps.
They watch it a completely different way. So last night, I do a little wagering on my FanDuel Sportsbook app, and I find myself watching the game yet another way.
Oh, as the gambler. Oh.
No, I'm serious, but I'm serious about this.
No, I get it.
I was sweating over last night.
Right. So
there you go.
So I did. A particular player, I had the Ben Simmons combined points, rebounds, and assists, and I'm literally watching Simmons on jump shots. All right, is he going in for a rebound or not? Come on, I need your rebound. I was watching it yet another way. And I'm wondering if you guys, I know this is a crazy fascination of mine, but it is something I've thought about a lot. Do you find yourself, or do you allow yourself to think that you watch games in different ways now that betting is legalized and all that? Do you watch it in a different way?
I have on my notes, because usually I will, if I'm watching a game, I will put a note down if there's something I want to use as a talking point. So I'll put it down. At the top of my notes for last night watching the game, was over. I need over 229 and a half. So it was over 229.
Right.
I said, so I need 230 points. At bold, at the top of the page, was 230 points. And with 2.5 minutes to go, we weren't there. We didn't get there to 1:04 to go in the game.
Yeah.
And then it went to overtime, so it was totally thing.
Right.
They hit the over at 1:04 left in the game. And I'm like, okay, got that one. Check it off. So when you watch as a gambler, I do watch it differently.
Yeah, I've only worn 3 viewing hats.
You only have like 2 hats.
I busted out my hat box last night.
You're like a Scooby-Doo character.
Well,
you
Chuck,
wear the same
Chuck
things
shamed
all the time.
Me for my dirty blue hat. I need to wash that and get it back in the rotation. I've had 3 hats. 80% of my life, I've worn it as a fan hat.
Right, that's one I didn't even mention, just a fan.
Yeah, 10%. Probably in the NBC Sunday Night Football truck doing Eagles games. That's a much different hat because I have to be professional. And then, actually,
how hard is that for you?
Not as hard as I would have thought. Yeah. Actually, I got to reduce the numbers. As a gambler for a long time, I've had a gambler's hat. And part of me, the sick, twisted gambler in me last night, after Joel made that 3, this is where the fan and gambler conflict each other. I kind of wasn't opposed to Mike Conley hitting that shot because I would have covered. I had that thought, and I went, yeah, get that out of your head. But it crossed my mind.
Pat, do you...
Because I would have covered.
Do you bet Eagles games?
Yeah.
So you see, it's very interesting is, I'll bet these Sixer games or a Flyer game, but I don't think I'll be betting Eagles games.
I stopped because the team wasn't very good last year. So I won't bet against my team, but Bob, this topic spoke to me because last night I had I used the parlay selection feature on BetMGM, and one of the last thing I needed was Tobias Harris rebounds, assists, points over 20, which is very attainable.
And where were you at?
Well,
till over
until
he counts.
So it does. But
okay,
until he hit that shot with about a minute left, that shot got me it. But I'm sitting there watching it with the last 4 minutes, like grab a rebound, get a shot,
and you're just watching him.
Wait a minute,
the whole time.
Wait a minute. So the same shot because there was a minute 4 left.
Yep.
Same shot,
got you
put
the over.
Over and got you of it. So we're both watching it for two different reasons.
Yeah. I'm going to send Tobias Harris $3 on Venmo because he came up clutch for me.
Always love the Harrises. Good people.
Yeah, the reason I bring this up so often is because when I started coaching, the guy who coached me in high school is a phenomenal coach, said to me, don't forget, don't watch the ball. Like, when we watch basketball, you watch the ball, right?
I do.
I mean, that's a normal thing.
I watch a lot off ball.
I'm like a puppy.
Right. Exactly. You know, and you can't
error.
Do that.
No.
And so, you know, there's your aspect. If you have a kid playing, John, you know, like, it's kind of hard to take your eyes off of him when he's playing.
Right.
So forget ball, you're watching him. And if you're a referee, you know, so there's just, it fascinates
and
me.
And football's
ways.
Fascinating because you could look at it 19 different ways. Like an old coworker of ours, I started watching more line play because I was learning more. If I worked with B. West every day, I'd probably focus more on the running back blocking schemes
right.
and stuff. So, like, you can watch football in 40 different ways.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, though, Pat, is I can't.
You're always on the ball?
Because I don't think I have the knowledge expertise to really... I sort of know what I'm looking.
Yeah.
But
sometimes
I don't
I'll focus...
I know tech... Because almost like if I'm watching that specifically, it's because I know technique.
Sure.
And I really don't.
But sometimes I won't even watch the quarterback, and I'll focus just on the wide receiver routes.
Really?
Yeah, I scatterbrain around in the NFL.
That's why Mike Mayock was so good as an analyst.
Oh, my gosh.
He sat down, like, he was a former cornerback, but he sat down with offensive linemen and running backs to see how they watch tape. And that's why he was able to break down tape when he was doing the draft so well.
Craig says he's glad that Egan took off his dirty Temple hat today. he's putting it back on. It is. It does look
What's
a
up,
little.
Craig?
Is it dirty?
He says it looks dirty. There are people that.
It's just maroon.
Every day, people. Cherry.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Cherry and the white.
We're not Mississippi State.
Wow. Mm. Oh, yeah. He was offended.
Yeah.
Cherry and the white.
Cherry.
I don't know what Catholic university is. God bless you all.
We were a cardinal.
I figured you were.
Some kind of red.
God bless you all, but.
Who cares?
Yeah, please. Catholic university people. And I'm Catholic, and I don't even want to hear about them. All right. The
2001 Division III National Champs, John. No big deal.
That's good. I think they would have lost.
In what sport?
Basketball.
I think they would have lost to Camden High, right?
Probably.
Maybe like a 17-point underdog?
Most definitely. Wagner would have put up like 65.
17-point underdog? Philly 444 wants to know the name of that place, and just give me the initials because they don't advertise. And that's what he wanted to know.
There you go.
Yes.
I would recommend the Alien Church IPA.
Really?
Yes.
Do they have growlers?
I would think so.
I think they need to advertise.
I need to get more growlers. I'd love for them to advertise.
I think they need to advertise.
I want to bathe in their hops.
I think they need a John Kincaid Show growler with us on it.
Ooh. Now I'm starving and thirsty.
See, so some brewery is going to be smart.
Yeah.
And they're going to create the John Kincaid Show growler.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then you're going to be able to go and get a discounted price to fill your growler when you bring your growler in.
I like that idea.
See, I think it would work. Coming up, this guy is now restructuring his deal to help the team. But does he really want to stay for this? John Kincaid Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
You know what, John? One of the things I love about betting on basketball is I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's my favorite bet, the same game parlay, where you can get massive payouts. I told you last night, I had the Ben Simmons over in points, rebounds, and assists. Fell a little bit short, but I countered it by taking the Sixers getting some points last night. And right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back insight credit each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same game parlay insurance. You heard me right. Every day. That's why I love FanDuel, and that's why I bet on FanDuel all the time. The best part about it, too, you get your withdrawals in as little as 24 hours. You have odds boosts, live betting, super boosts every day, so much to choose from. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try Same Game Parlay and use promo code Bob at sign up. That's promo code Bob. Must be 21 or older. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We got a lot to go still on this edition of the John Kincaid Show, but Cousin Chunas are coming up at the top of the hour. I do not know this, Pat, and I'm very interested.
This is NBA Young Bull.
Is it really?
No, it's not.
Who is it?
It's Young Guns.
Little Young Guns?
See, I'm
no, they're grown.
Oh, they're older?
Maybe this is coach's influence here. I'm much more interested in beats than I am lyrics. Is that uncommon as a music person?
No, not at all.
Yeah, beat gets me. I mean, a beat is the backbone of any lyricist for the most part.
Like, I can listen to... I'm listening... Like, when I hear things, I'm listening to the...
Do you like Kanye?
I like Kanye.
Because his beats are... He started as a producer.
Correct.
So his beats are always unique.
And honestly, Kanye was one of the...
His lyrics are wacko.
Yes.
But his beats are on point.
And I couldn't tell you is that... I couldn't tell you the lyrics of half of the songs that... You know, that of genres like rap that I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, what is that song? And someone will say, okay. Then you go and get it.
I'm the same way.
I only want it because of the beat. I don't have any idea what they're saying. No idea what they're saying. I'm not listening to it. I'm not, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's what catches you first, right? I mean, a song doesn't catch you because of its lyrics.
Unless it's like a freestyle or something, yeah.
I mean, I think beat would catch you first,
but
right?
Beat is what
makes your toes tap.
But beat is what makes me love a song, not the words. Like the
lyricists
of our day, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen. Those guys, the guys that they wrote poetry.
You better not forget the monster.
Elton John, though.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan's fantastic. But I wasn't as big a Bob Dylan fan because of he doesn't have a ton of it.
He's more of a poet. Yeah.
There's no beats. He's a poet.
Yeah.
He's a lyricist. But like Billy Joel to me, I know every word of every one of his hits because the song's just.
Right.
But it's more about the words with him. It's not the tune.
Yeah, I guess. I can't get into a song by words and then say, okay, I'll join in with the... I don't know. We went to a Billy Joel concert, Donna and I, last summer. I was surprised how great it was. Actually, we went with Carly,
to the one in Madison Square?
We went to, Citizens Bank Park.
Okay.
It's my wife's 40th, her bucket list item is Billy Joel at MSG.
And now he does it once a month?
Once a month.
I need to make that happen.
He was not during pandemic, though, he hasn't.
Right.
I guess not. He's awesome, though.
He's awesome.
I mean,
I was shocked how great it was.
He's a hell of a performer.
There's an awesome scene in that movie, One Night in Miami, which deals with Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and who else am I forgetting? Malcolm X.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the scenes is Malcolm X confronts Sam Cooke about not writing soulful music. He doesn't talk about the struggle and all that. He's more or less sold out to pop. Now, the movie's based in nonfiction, so this might be fabricated. I don't know. But Malcolm X puts on a Bob Dylan track and says, listen to the words. What he's writing is more soulful than what you're doing. And that's when Sam Cooke kind of changed as an artist.
But we don't know if that's true.
We don't know.
Okay,
it's a great story, though.
But if it's true, it's amazing.
The play and the movie are based in fiction.
Okay, so it's based
in the movie's
fiction.
Based in a play. The play is based in fiction.
So someone's trying to say to themselves, how do you think the change happened? How do you think the change occurred?
And that's apparently when he wrote, what's the song, Things Gonna... Oh, damn it.
It's all right.
All right. Time's good. I love Sam Cooke too, and I'm
brain farting
in the night away.
You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, we implore you, please choose Bradford White. That's what Ron Jaworski
tells you. A change is
going
to come.
So Ron Jaworski tells you.
Jaws knows all about Sam Cooke hits.
Choose Bradford White. They'll take great care of you.
He died at 33.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah.
And what'd he die of?
I forget.
What'd he die of? Now we're going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, I know.
See the rabbit holes you go down.
He was shot.
Martin Gale.
Was shot?
One of the questions is how many times was he shot?
But he didn't die of gunshot, did he?
At Hacienda Motel in L.A.
Dead.
And now he's shot dead?
Yeah. Answering separate reports of a shooting and a kidnapping at the motel, police found Cook's corpse there. He had sustained a gunshot wound to the chest.
What do you think of when you think of... this is how my mind works. What do you think of when you think of a man getting shot at a hotel?
Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
First thing comes to mind. First thing comes to my mind is Martin Luther King.
Absolutely.
Okay, if you took celebrity out of it, you took just the idea of somebody being shot at a hotel. I always think like the jealous husband.
Catching.
Like something like that. But I always think, no.
That's your soap opera mind.
I always think of, whenever I see a motel, Bob, I think of Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
The two-story motel type of thing, I always think of Martin Luther King with the doors being seen out there. And everybody go see the King Center. It's in a great city.
I'd love to make that happen.
It's in a great city in the South.
Albuquerque?
And it is absolutely one of the most peaceful places you will ever visit of a historical nature. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the subject matter is anything but peaceful.
Sure.
But it is a peaceful place. It's really great. In the linchpin... This guy's coming back, and some people aren't thrilled by it.
This is the linchpin.
I'm thrilled by it.
I am.
Because Brandon Graham just gave me, if you boil everything down, and we're all just sports fans here, he gave me what we ultimately seek and desire as a fan of a team and players. He said he wants to be here through a rebuild, and he's going to restructure his contract to help out with the salary cap. And it's not like Brandon Graham's not going to get his money. He'll be fine. And being a winner helps that because he's not seeking the title. He's not ring chasing. As a fan of a player of a team, all I want is that they care about our area as much as we care about them. Like, to me, that is the ultimate respect shown back to a fan base. And Philadelphia has it a lot more than other cities do. And for Brandon Graham to say, I want to be here through this rebuild. I don't mind if there's some losing seasons ahead. This is home to me. That touches me in the feel good part of my heart.
Did he settle in South Philly, didn't he?
I believe he lives down there. He still goes home to Detroit in the summers.
Because my godson saw him at a food place just recently.
Oh, is that right?
And Andrew wouldn't go over and say hello to Brandon Graham.
My wife saw him at the FedEx. But
he sent him a DM, and he DM'd him back.
That's cool. He said he was such a nice guy. I just love when a guy... Look, obviously having the Super Bowl changes things.
But he loves it here.
He loves it here. And I love that about any athlete. Brandon Graham's ilk and the quality of player he is makes it easier. But I love when the player loves us.
Is Brandon Graham the Eagles' Chase Utley? As far as... the love for the city being felt. Like, you always felt that.
Yeah.
Chase Utley loved this city and loved the fans.
Brandon Graham is probably the most tied into fans of any Eagles player from that Super Bowl. The guy that...
I would say so.
Yeah. Like...
like, he loves
this
city.
One of them. You know, like, you're one of us. I think you can put that label on Brandon Graham. And I don't think you can lightly put that on anybody.
No.
I really don't.
That's something you have to prove.
Yeah.
That's something you have to prove.
Like, Lane Johnson could be that to me.
Sure. That's good.
Kelsey is that.
Embiid's that.
Well, Kelsey Simmons, cemented it at the parade.
Sure. And then he married a local girl, and I think he's going to live here forever.
So he's cemented.
Yeah, he's cemented.
Why would you, when you don't have to pay for food the rest of your life?
Yeah, why would you leave?
Oh, my gosh, Jamie.
Speaking to you.
Yeah, I can be bought with food.
You know, 10 years from now, you're never going to buy a meal.
Yeah, you know, I hope.
I look at Kelce as the Chase Utley, not Brandon Graham. Because Jason Kelce was liked from pretty much moment one because he was a steal in the sixth round. Brandon Graham wasn't. It took some time for the fan base to come around him. But I love the fact that both of those guys seems like they're going to stay here a long time because they love it here.
Thing is, Chase Utley was a Golden Child higher pick.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick.
Jason Kelce was a grinder seventh-round?
Probably their best draft pick ever.
He was a
sixth-round.
Probably their best draft pick ever.
Well, I would absolutely say
for the value of where...
It's right there for the value that they got for him. I love that
topic. Harold Carmichael went in the seventh.
I love that topic, though.
When I saw the headline yesterday, it warmed my sports soul. I went, thank you, BG, for loving us as much as we love you.
31 games.
Is that what you said?
To myself.
Could he stay healthy for two more seasons?
Yes.
And become the all-time most games? By the way, he will eclipse what Eagle?
It's a great question.
Not Carmichael? Nope.
Not Carmichael?
Nope.
Jason Peters.
Wait.
Has a very weird voice. Really weird voice. Doesn't fit him at all.
Bill Berge?
Bill Berge, yeah.
I'm David Akers. And I can't wait till puberty.
Yeah.
It's like David Akers. Yes, David Akers is the...
He was probably, 12 years?
I know. David Akers is the number one. David Akers is playing 129, and he'll be...
So that's a little over 10,
He's got to go 30. He has to go to 230, I guess it is.
That's cool. That's a cool honor for BG.
It'd be awesome. Hey, locally owned and operated for over 30 years... Pets Plus Natural, their number one priority is to help your pets live happier, healthier, and longer lives. Curbside pickup and local home delivery available at PetsPlusNatural.com. Okay, tell me that I can't do this. Tell me that I cannot steal my dog from my wife and daughter.
I wish I could tell you that.
I've been feeling very...
Lonely.
Very lonely at times.
Which is natural.
And... My puppy is very, Nikki Foles is very attached to daddy.
Can't there be a loan program?
You're
messing with the dog.
Yeah, but here's the only thing is
that dog will be fine.
Is that, no, she loves Olivia too. But she really is, like, she now, like, we were doing the put on FaceTime.
Right.
And talk to each other. And the dog then cries and is upset hearing that we have to talk on the phone.
And that kills you.
Yeah. So can you do that to a dog? Because here's the thing. I leave it. I walk out that door at usually like 4:20 in the morning, 4:25 in the morning.
Yeah.
Then some days I'd be getting back at noon. I can't do that to a dog.
You can hire a dog walker.
I wouldn't do that.
I've thought of this a lot since you've come here. Because, you know, like you and I are kind of in the same position and whatever. I was going to bring it up to you, but decided it wasn't any of my business to say, why don't you bring the dog up for you?
There's Nikki Foles this morning. Look, Nikki Foles this morning. I was
like, Christina and Olivia have each other. You need some much. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you should get the dog.
I think you get a little three-month loan.
Get a three-month loan?
No, yeah. I say it stays permanently.
Oh, really?
Then Nikki Foles comes up here and
I'm not kidding.
Me.
Yeah, I really
Olivia
believe that.
Be okay with you having Nikki.
Does she want to eat? Let's be honest. We don't live in it. She didn't grow up in a democracy. 17-year-olds don't get votes.
I hear you.
17-year-olds do
not. But she would
votes.
Be happy that you were happy,
she'd
right?
She'd be happy that daddy had.
Yeah.
Because
so it sounds like a no-brainer.
I'm telling you, I'm considering it.
Yeah.
I'm all for
but
it.
But I'd be worried that the dog would be left alone too long.
Nah, you're all right. Dog sleeps until 9.
Also, too, though, I'd have to get the dog out. Like, get the dog. Now, the big thing is the dog's trained. In a litter box.
Really?
Even better. Yes.
Wow.
Christina trains small
dogs.
Well,
then what are you worried about? You're good to go.
Well, yeah, you're going to need a walker.
What if she takes a little longer in the morning and holds me up? I don't want to be held up.
No, you're good. Well, if Christina can train her, so can you.
Pat, you brought up a topic that involved Brick from General Hospital. You know him as Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, it was actually Jamie mentioned this yesterday, and it kind of piqued my interest.
We call him Brick on this show, by the way.
No, Stephen A.
He's Brick.
The people that just watch sports call him Stephen A.
He's Brick.
But guys that you've done a complete 180 on, because Jamie, yesterday you said that Stephen A, you have done a complete 180 on his career, and now you kind of love him, and it got me thinking that there are definitely guys in sports that we've done a 180 on. For me, this guy we just talked about, Brandon Graham. I wanted Earl Thomas so badly, and it took Brandon Graham a little bit of time to get his career established. He was blocking everybody on Twitter that had anything to say, but now I love him.
He was doing that on Twitter?
Oh, he would search his name and then block you.
Yeah. There was a day, that's where that Thank You 97.5 drop came from, because we did a thing where we brought it to the attention of people where it was like, who else is blocked by Brandon? And then we learned, like, there's thousands of people.
Did Brandon release those names?
So Jimmy Kempsky, I think, talked to him about it in the locker room and convinced him to go on an unblock spree.
He unblocked everybody.
And Brandon went through, I think Jimmy literally went through his phone and unblocked people for him.
Okay, let me ask you something. As far as blocking.
Yeah.
Because you got people that...
I don't do it.
I have people screaming for my attention on a daily basis, going like, I'm going to say something nasty.
Yeah.
I
mute.
I don't...
Yeah, but
the mute button is my friend.
Yeah.
And then I'll find out, going, did you read... Somebody else will say to me, this guy is constantly tweeting bad stuff.
Like, I don't see it. I don't care.
I don't see it. I muted him. I muted him the first day that he acted like a 15-year-old.
At the time, though, the mute button wasn't a thing. So,
oh, it wasn't?
Yeah, but it was... My whole thing was he was searching his name, so you're searching out... the hate.
When did he become a lighthearted guy then?
I think he might have been always that. I think he just wanted to block out negativity. I don't know. Because I remember what happened to me was I tweeted he had gotten a strip sack, not in the Super Bowl. And I said, yeah, but Earl Thomas would have taken it to the house, like in jest as a joke.
Okay.
I didn't tag him in it. He liked the tweet and then I was blocked. So he wanted to let me know I saw it, I blocked you. But
well, here's
a couple years later, all of a sudden, it's like everybody loves the guy because he started producing on the field.
Here's what I'd suggest. Brandon Graham doesn't have to be on social media. If that was a problem for him at the time, by the way, he's pretty good on social media now.
Yeah.
Just mute somebody.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you don't have to be on. If you find social media annoying, aggravating,
then
whatever,
get off of it.
Get off it.
But and the block gives the troll what they want.
Right. Oh, look, I can tell that.
Exactly right.
But
now, people in our industry don't block people, right?
But he's a guy who I did a complete 180 on yesterday. John, you said Roddy White was a guy that, not personality-wise, but...
I so blew it on Roddy White. I so messed that up.
So are there any other ones, athletes or people in sports that you guys can think of that you had done a 180 on, well, either good or bad?
Well, 180, completely 180, but it's the same sort of thing as Roddy White. I literally thought Tim Duncan was going to be an NBA bust. And I couldn't have said it more often. Like I said it, I doubled down on it. I said, this guy's going to be, he's too soft for the NBA.
Oh, yeah, that was the label.
I banged the drum.
Yeah, I hear you.
Early sports radio career, banged that drum. You wouldn't want him on your team, and what an idiot.
I have one the opposite way, okay? One that I really, really liked. My favorite player to watch up close in the NBA, and now I have trouble stomaching watching him, and that's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, you're welcome to my side, Bobby.
He fascinated me watching him live for all those
now
years.
Now it's painful, isn't it?
And now it's just like, you're in it for you.
Yeah, welcome to my side,
yeah.
Bobby.
That's great.
Yeah, I kind of...
That's a great one.
Yeah.
I have one, and I hated him at first, loved him by the end. Pat the Bat.
Pat Burrell.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't like him in the beginning, but by the end, I love him because he became half man, half machine. I always brace for the dead arm when he comes.
Well, he always was. I never heard he was half a man. I always heard other rumors.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of pack going around town. I always heard about that.
Yeah.
I said, that was legendary.
Yeah, the people that talk in the third person, there's like, when these mics go off, I'll tell you a couple.
Okay, tomorrow,
about Pat the Bat.
Right, tomorrow you want to bring the legendary swordsman of Philadelphia sports to the table? It's a fun Friday topic. Tomorrow, legendary swordsman.
I mean, we have two of the all-timers in Will.
Yeah, I'll bang that.
The sign is coming to my apartment today. What's the sign, Jamie?
Don't do the show before the show.
There it is. Hey, Natural Lawn of America brings you Anthony Gargano crossing over with us. Natural Lawn of America, the official lawn care company of spring, the safer alternative in lawn care for your kids and pets. Schedule their full service program. You're going to get free seeding every year and peace of mind. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
What's up? The name dropper.
Was that game great?
Oh, it was fabulous.
That was the fine work of Patty again.
Pat did a great job.
We've now just become Thursday 8:30.
It's game time.
It's just game time.
Yeah.
I love it.
Every Thursday 8:30.
Love
you
Thursday.
Enjoy fun, though.
I love fun.
Yeah. Fun's the best thing to have.
So,
it's one of my models.
I want to talk to Bobby C today.
Okay.
Because speaking of fun, I think Bobby, John, is missing fun.
On what?
Fun.
Yes.
About what? Like
I You're the greatest. Oh, you know that.
No, I don't know. There's a butt coming. I'm glad you say that.
You are upset at the MVP conversation.
Oh, yes, he is.
Joel.
Drives him crazy.
I know, it's weird, isn't it, Ant?
Yeah, like, why? I don't understand.
It's ultimately meaningless, right?
Yeah, and I don't understand why you,
when
you sent me a text, I was like, I don't know how to answer because
I
disagreed with you.
That's why I throw it to you.
Have some fun with it.
But you know what, Anthony? The thing is, though, it's not about, it's nothing to do with Joel. Like, Bob has that opinion about every MVP, of every sport, everything.
No, I know.
It doesn't mean championship.
It's a fun little story. Like, listen, the regular season of the NBA, we all know it's meaningless, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm enjoying the MVP conversation for the big man.
I do. Maybe I stated it wrong. I do. I love it. I love the season he's having. I said he's must-watch TV at the beginning of the year with the way he's playing.
I know how you feel about him.
But my God. Okay. We all know he's an MVP. He's leader of the MVP talk, all that. Like, it's ruling our day almost to the point of...
You're going hipster on it.
I don't know.
I know.
Are you ready?
Right.
Here's the text. You mind or no?
That's all right. You already got half a Camden ready to beat me up anyway, so go ahead.
That was great. I bleeping hate all the MVP talk for Embiid. Who cares? Why is that the main story? Team comes first. See, that's what Bob's such a team guy. And I respect that.
I know how old it sounds.
Here's new game on Cuz's show. Cuz reads texts. Cuz reading texts.
We used to do that, remember?
Yeah, we used to do that.
I'll tell you this, as we round out the show today, before we say goodbye to Anthony and say, hey, stay tuned for Cuz. Hearing Anthony, and I've been a fan of Anthony for a long time, listen to Anthony for a long time, I'd text him, I'd send him a note. Hearing Anthony tell stories of being Father Anthony might be my favorite part of the show right now.
Oh, thank you, bro. It's a new side of you. Oh, it's a new side of you.
There were a lot of sides of years where Anthony was telling stories. I was out with the boys last night.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hearing Anthony tell stories about Little League practices and stuff like that.
Little Anthony slept in his uniform.
Yes.
Catholic school uniform.
I swear I was going to text you. I used to do that once in a while.
I love it.
Just because we'd have a basketball game and I'd be so tired, I would put it on.
I love it. Hey, Cuz is coming up next. So thank you so much. You know, behind the scenes, Mike and Connor, they get the goodbye today. Mike and Connor doing great jobs behind the scenes. You never hear about them much, but they're awesome. And for everybody here at the John Kincaid Show, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Anthony Gargano comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.